ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാംശുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർത്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസയതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം നാ കനികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാ സമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So yesterday we started discussing this chapter Vibhuti Yogam, which is the 10th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 9th chapter, while concluding that Krishna said a few things to Arjuna, particularly very important, and which was just an introduction to this 10th chapter. You will notice that if you carefully look in the 9th chapter. Krishna says to Arjuna, Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayastada anityam asukham logam imam prapya bhajasvamam. That verse is actually an introduction to the Vibhuti Yogam. Because you will see there, Krishna says that first of all, to come to this understanding, what we talked about yesterday, anityam, asukham, lokam, it doesn't come very easily, that realization, anityam, asukham, lokam. It's easy to say that, but to recognize that material life is like that, the world, as I said before, that the manufacturer is telling us about the manufacturing defect of the world. He has created this world and he is telling us that this is what I have created. So we have no choice except to agree and accept that seriously what Krishna has said, which is anityam asukham lokam. Krishna says there, isn't it? But so why does he say that? Because he says that imam prapya bhajasvamam, so that you take shelter of me. That is why that anityam asukham lokam. So that we surrender to Krishna and take Krishna consciousness seriously. Therefore, in that verse itself, Krishna says, Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayastadaha. Great, great brahmanas and rajarshis, if they had done, what will happen to them? Even the ordinary people, because Krishna mentioned in the last chapter that ordinary people, they have taken shelter of me and come back to me. In the Bhagavatam also, in the Ekadasha Skandam, if you look into the 12th chapter, Krishna says there, Khagaha, Nagaha. So many people, Krishna says, they have all come back to me because they took my shelter. That means Krishna is taking Krishna shelter. So if they can come back, what is the question about Brahmana and Rajarshis? Great Brahmanas and great Rajarshis, great kings who have taken Krishna shelter. What about them? Krishna says. So ultimately he says, Anityam Asukham Lokam. Krishna says, don't waste your time in this world. It's not going to be anywhere different here. It's not going to change. Because you can see this, when it's coming from Krishna's mouth, you have to accept it very seriously. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita later on, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matha sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajande mam udhabhava samanyudaha. So many verses in later on, Krishna mentions that this creation, it has come from me. As a platform of the soul, Krishna is saying this. So, because it is like that, kim punar vaktya rajarshayastada anityam asukham lokam. Lokam is anityam, lokam is asukham. Anityam means very temporary. When Krishna says world is temporary, what we have to understand is, in our experience, it is only lasting for some period of time, as long as you have a gross material body. After that, it is over. World may stay as it is, what we see through the senses, it may remain like this. But in our experience, it's only for a very short time. That is that anityam means. Anityam doesn't mean the material world is temporary. This creation will remain as it is, but in your experience, it's only going to be for a short period of time. That's that anityam. Asukham means the miseries, adhyalpiyam, adibhautikam, adidevikam, all the miseries what we have to live through in this world. Never there is going to be perfection here, never there is going to be shanti here, and never there is going to be any peace or satisfaction in this world. It will not happen. So that Krishna has indicated in that verse. Therefore, the solution is imam prapya bhajasvamam. Come back to me and get out of the material bodily identity and come back to the platform of the soul, in other words. And then Krishna said, the way to do that is, manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji imam namaskuru. Krishna said in the last verses, isn't it? The final verse, Krishna concludes that, saying that, mamaveshati yukteivam altmanam madparayana. As I mentioned before, that normally that verse is understood on a direct literary sense. But from looking at it, you can see Atmanam Matparayana. That Matparayana is the most important thing. That always surrender to Krishna, not allowing that false ego to develop any time inside. That's what he's saying. Never allowing the false ego to come out and to be in that surrendered state, and always Madmana, handing over the mind to Krishna. All that we have seen yesterday. Now, we also noticed yesterday something more important, that Krishna mentions there that normally in our situation, there is a whole life in front of us for many people, and still we are looking for some satisfaction, some perfection in life. It's only that perfection we are searching after. Why all the time we are feeling miserable, unhappy with the situation? Something or the other, one problem or the other keeps coming. So Krishna says that it is impossible, and you can, what Krishna has spoken there, asukham, asukham lokam, Krishna says, that it is impossible to reach a peaceful state in this world. It is never possible. Everybody says to us that we want to be peaceful, but you can see all the forces that's operating in the world will not allow you to do that. They are all opposing that peacefulness inside. Therefore, Krishna said, anityam asukham lokam. That is why Krishna says, anityam asukham lokam. So, because he has spoken like that, then the question, why Krishna has created why creation then? That question will come. And the answer to that is, imam prapya bhajasvamam. Imam prapya bhajasvamam, Krishna says. So, the moment you realize till you realize this word, anityam asukham, till we realize that, when you realize that, or when you come to terms with that it is anityam, it is asukham, then you transcend or go beyond this. You transcend or go beyond this world. Otherwise, you will never think about coming out of this world, leaving this world. Only when you realize it, that this world is temporary and full of miseries, only then you will think about leaving this world. Otherwise you won't. Then you will transcend or go beyond this world. We gave the example also yesterday, that when a child wants to play all the time, the mother hands over some toys to the child to play with. And after a while, the child will play for a while and throw it away. Then, if the mother is very clever, what she will do? She would have stocked a lot of different toys. Different toys she would have stocked. So she will take the old toy away and give a new toy to the child to play. The child will play with another toy for some more time, with the new toy. And then the mother keep on changing the toys one after the other so that she is clever enough to engage the child in such a way so that she can do her work in the kitchen or whatever other household work she wants to do. But after doing that for a while, the child eventually says, I don't want to play with any toys, I want you. The child says to the mother and comes to the mother, and the child wants the mother at that time, doesn't want any more toys. This is the same situation with us. We try this, we try that, we try so many things in this world, ultimately we get fed up of everything. Only then you want Krishna. Up to that time you won't think about Krishna. This is exactly the child's mood, what we all have in this world. Thinking that I will try to become happy with this toy, and then I'll try to be happy with another toy, and another toy. One plan, another plan, another plan. So many plans, but nothing works and everything gets frustrated. Like the child gets frustrated with all the toys. In the similar way, we also get frustrated with this world one day and we say, now enough is enough. Let me think about further. Anityam asukham lokam. Krishna says that till you reach that point that you're fed up with this place, with everything what's going on here, imam prapya bhajasvam won't happen. That is what Krishna says here. Now, the child also, you can see that after he has played with the toys, it was at a particular stage in his life. Once he has grown up, he got married, and then if he won't even look at the toys to play with, he has no interest to play with the toys. So he had enough of it. He left it at that time. So similarly, when a new stage, every time a new stage one enters in life, the old stage leaves him and goes away. Similarly, we also think that many things in this world is giving us happiness. But we don't know that it is temporary and it is misery at the end. Everything in this world, if you take it, it is like that. Everything is temporary and everything will give you distress and go at the end. But to come to that realization, it takes a while. A person works very hard to maintain the body. And this very same body will give us trouble one day and will leave us and go. Then you feel the futility of all the work what you have done for the body. To maintain the body, you have worked so hard and gone through a lot of distress and difficulties in life. And that very same body for maintaining what you have done all your energy, spend all your energy in life, that very same body will look at us and spit at us later. Telling us that, well, it's your fault, it's not my fault, and it's time for me to go. And the body will say goodbye and leave. That is our bodily existence is concerned. Not only that, even in the family life, you got married, had a wife, children, everybody, and then they were all happy together for some time. But later on, when the child turns against you or they don't listen to you, they become a headache for you, then you realize that the same person with whom you have given all your attachment and affection, that person has become a problem later. And one after the other, they leave you. It is the same thing with the wife and the husband as well, with whom you have given so much love and care and attachment and affection, everything, they will leave you one day. So when Krishna says, anityam asukham lokam, we have to leave it, understand it in this way. That all the objects where we have imposed our love and affection, those objects will ultimately give you distress and they will go. This is the reality. They will not stay. That's why Krishna is saying anityam. Very specifically, Krishna mentions that word anityam. They are temporary. That is the very temporary nature of all the worldly objects, is to give you distress at the very end of it. At the end, they'll give you distress and go. So, because it is like that, Shastram, we know this nature, that people can't leave it on first day itself, everything, even if they hear it, they won't leave it. That is the nature of the world. Therefore, what the Vedam has done, or the Shastram has done, or all the spiritual masters, all they do, is that many Veda mantram also is to tell us that you live happily here. Let time take its own way. Its own way, it will make us understand the same principle. So this is very interesting, because it's only in the Vedic literature this approach is there. On the one hand, Shruti is telling us the goal of life is self-realization. There is no other business here in this world except to realize the self. Shruti is telling us this. Vedam is telling us this. Krishna is saying this to us. Isn't it? Ladhva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavande manushyamartadamanitamapihadhiraha turnamade padena anumrityaval nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. In the Bhagavatam you will see Krishna saying this to Uddhava. Ladhva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavande. After many, many lifetimes, Krishna says to Uddhava, one has got this human form of body. Manushyam arthadam anityam apiha dhiraha. There also he uses the word anityam. So Krishna seems to stress this point, this temporary nature of this world, both in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while talking to Uddhava. Arthadam anityam, he says. Apiha dhiraha. But dhira is such a person who can see these things through very well and do the right thing at the right time in life. That is why he is saying that. Anityam apiha dhiraha turnam pade. One day it will drop. Body will drop and go. Yade anumrtiyaval nishreyasaya. Before that happens, Krishna says, Uddhava, nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvatasyal. That one should be able to leave all vishayam. Vishayam means all the enjoyment related to the senses, to the five senses of eating, sleeping, mating, all kinds of things. All of them one should be able to leave. Krishna says to Uddhava, nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvatasyal. You should be able to leave and go from here. He should be able to do that before that body drops. That is the principle. Not after the body. After the body drops, you are forced to leave it. That is no good. Forcibly leaving and giving up before the body dropping away is different. That is the important point. So Krishna has said this to Uddhava in the Bhagavatam. And here to Arjuna also, Krishna is indicating that anityam asukham lokam. Anityam asukham lokam. But that realization, people cannot take it very seriously because of the various problems. In the Vedam also, because of this, because Vedam knows, Shruti knows this problem. Therefore, those who have given us Vedic literature, the sages, the rishis, they have some of the in things what the rishis is asking Krishna to give us. In the Vedam, there is this famous prayers to what is known as Sri Rudram. Sri Rudram Chamagam, it is called Chamagam. The prayers and great sacrifices are performed. They chant these prayers in the Vedam. They chant these prayers. So many of these prayers, they are asking that we want happiness in this world. Same Vedam is telling us that there is no happiness in this world. And that same Vedam is also asking us to pray for these things. To be happy in this world, to have plenty of grains, plenty of food, vegetables and milk and cattle, everything, cows and sufficient wealth in this world. And plenty of happiness through wife and children, family life, everything, the same Vedam is instructing us. So why is it like that? It is like this, just like the child, when it moves from one stage to another, he is ready for something else, he knows that the other thing was not worthwhile doing it. So it is same way, Vedam is also taking us through the life in the way. At early ages, that Vedam's instruction is like that. But once you have got the message properly, then the other things are not important. Other things are not important. So the same person in his early life, he sees things in different one way, and later on he sees in a different way. So so in every stage in life, what do we require? That is accordingly, just like the child, at different times the mother gave him different toys to play with. Is it not? Different toys to play with. So that the child is occupied properly, engaged properly. In the similar way, Vedam also, according to your maturity in life. This is called a maturity in life. Maturity is not just getting a bigger body or a bigger, older age. That's not what maturity means. Maturity means to see, look back and see that whatever the rest of the things in life, what we have done was not worthwhile to coming to this conclusion. And spiritual maturity is that, to come to the goal very quickly. That is spiritual maturity. To realize that Life is meant for realization, realizing the self. If one has come to that realization, that is spiritually very matured. That is what we are discussing yesterday, jijnyasa. The word jijnyasa refers to that. So, the same thing, whatever what we require at that stage, prakriti provides us that. Material nature provides us that. Sankhya philosophy says prakriti. And this prakriti, material nature, is also another dimension of Krishna. Krishna is another dimension. Prakriti is one dimension. And the other way, Sankhya calls it as Purusha and Prakriti. Prakriti is one dimension and Purusha is another dimension. That is in the Sankhya philosophy. If you come to the Bhakti process, you will say it's like the father, mother. Like the father and mother. Krishna is considered the supreme father. Aham bija prada pida, isn't it? Krishna says also, pidaham asya jagato madha dhada pidamaha. Krishna himself comes as father and mother. So, it is the same concept in Bhakti Margam, which is in the Sankhyam also, Purusha and Prakriti. In Bhakti Margam, when it comes, Mata Dhada Pidamaha. Krishna says, Pidaham Asya Jagado, Mata Dhada Pidamaha. We saw it in the last chapter that. So, Sankhyam says like this, Bogam Abhavarga Pradayini Prakriti. That is how Sankhya philosophy says. Bhogam abhavarga pradayini. Bhogam means all the sense enjoyment it provides. Who? Prakriti. And abhavarga pradayini. Prakriti. Abhavargam also finally realizing the self. That also Prakriti does. So first it gives the bhogam, sense gratification. It gives you all the happiness what you are asking. And you will start thinking this is life. That's what it is. And you will start asking that I want this more, I want this more. And so many things like that. The asking business goes on for a long time. Asking business goes on for a long time. In that, if you look into the Sri Rudram prayers, you will see there how it works. That the, in the Rudram Chamagam, everything is, they make, may. It gives like a goat asking, for me, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me this. Like that, it says. Shamchame mayaschame, priyamchame me anuka kamaschame, kamaschame saumanaschame, badramchame shrayaschame, valsyaschame yashaschame, bhagaschame drevanamchame, yandhajame dharthajame, kshemaschame dhridischame. It goes like this. And vishyamchame mahachame, samvichame jnatramchame, suschame prasuschame, siramchame layaschame, kridamchame mrdamchame, ayashmanchame menamayachame, Jivadushchame, Dirghayutvam chame, Anamitram chame, Dvayam chame, Sugam chame, Shayanam chame, Sushachame, Sudinam chame. Like this it goes on and on and on. So many things are spoken here. And finally it finishes, ultimately, Brihadrudandare chame, Yajnena kalpedam. All these, asking these things from Krishna, Sri Rudram prayers, asking this is and the addressing Shiva, it says like that. That one thing is namakam, other one is chamakam. Chamakam says me, means for me, give me this. So, and finally, ultimately it closes that with yena kalpedam. Although I have asked all these things, finally it should become a yajnam, a sacrifice. It should become a sacrifice. Or in other words, let it lead me able to give it up all these things as a sacrifice. Let it come out as a sacrifice. In other words, if you look in the Chamakam, you will see there, whatever desires you have in your mind, all those things are mentioned there in that list of prayers in the Chamakam. It is a very important part in the Yajnam, these Chamakam prayers, Sri Rudra Chamakam. It's even slightly referred that into the Bhagavatam also in the fourth canto, you will see there. So, all those prayers are there indicating to us, you ask for this, give me this, so many things is mentioned there. So, everything we want, but many things if you look what they have asked for, mainly it is centered around our existence in this world, which means food. Food is the main thing. Wheat, rice, and all kinds of dal and so many other lentils, everything. So everything what is necessary for survival in this world, the rishis, the sages are very intelligent people. Very, very intelligent. They know that what is necessary for the body should be there. We shouldn't ask for anything else because it will waste your time. That is why they were concerned about it. If we have to ask, computer may, car may, television may, we'll go on like this. Isn't it? Our asking will be all these things. This is what we will ask. We won't ask what the rishis have asked. Rishis are intelligent. They say, what you need is only food. Ask for that so that that supply is unrestricted. We become so stupid that we think that food is not important. Food will come. It will come somehow. Somewhere it will come. Somebody will be making it in the world, some corner. That's enough. But rishis are not like that. Rishis are thinking in a deeper level. They are saying to us that ask for what is necessary for maintaining the body. That is how they kept it like that. So, because it is like that, only if we have that concept, the farmers will grow the food. Otherwise, what will happen? Farmers will make it in industry. Like you can see now. They have become, agriculture is an industry now. More like a industry, isn't it? So, later on, they will also start following these politicians. And they will start building houses, flats, houses and other things. And they'll think that this is what the farming, why important? Food will come from somewhere. Somebody will be growing food. It's not necessary. Why grow so much food when there is so many other things to do? So this mentality will come. And as far as Vedam is concerned, ask for what is necessary for sustaining the life in this world. And as far as they are concerned, that the food is the only important item. What one should, unrestricted supply, sufficient to live in this world, and you should ask for that. So, in that particular stage, that is what we need. But those who have crossed that stage, they know very well that all other sense gratification, what you are asking, looking for now, even if you are satisfied with given everything, cars or televisions or computers or whatever sense gratification you are looking for, if all that is given, still you will find a vacuum inside. You are not feeling complete. A dissatisfaction inside, isn't it? So many things are available now, but still there is no satisfaction inside. Why is that? If you analyze the world properly, you will know. A poor man in a village, anywhere in the world, who lives very simple, in poverty even, then whatever happiness he is getting from life, that's the same happiness a man in a very wealthy country with all the material opulences what he has got. There is no practically much difference. This you will notice it. You may think that, oh, he has got everything, this person doesn't have anything. But as far as satisfaction level is concerned, the satisfaction of a person in a village who lives a very simple way of life and who doesn't have any of the modern comforts or facilities what the developed world has got, when you compare that, you will see, as far as the level of happiness is concerned, perhaps this person in the village with the very limited material opulences is far better satisfied and shanti inside than the person who lives in a very opulent state with all the modern facilities but full of, develops a lot of anxieties and misery inside. This you can see if you analyze things properly. So, so bhogam, nature of the bhogam is like that. Happiness, sense enjoyment is like that. Practically there is no difference. Only thing is, so many comfort has come, different comfort, science has provided, technology has provided, various levels of comforts. But there is no satisfaction inside. There is no shanti inside. So it is at that time, so many things have happened in the world outside in the form of all the innovations in technology and facilities what we have got in the modern life. But in spite of all that, shanti hasn't come to that person. Shanti is not there. So what is the use? You will see, if you observe people, some of those people who are observe, it is very easy to locate this in the city life. Those who are working in the business and industry, working 14, 16, 18 hours a day, and constantly under stress, they live, and If you look into their life and you will see how much in out of balance they are with their mind. So disturbed inside that at some point, any moment they can collapse. They are on the edge, isn't it? If you look at people, you will see this. They are just on the edge. Whereas you will still see sometimes people in villages who are busy with their land, producing some food and living a life of very relaxed and not stressed in the way that the man in the city is stressed. He has perhaps more of shanti or tripti, satisfaction or purnata in his life, perfection in his life. So it will come at some time and he will come to know this later. So Krishna says at some stage in life, many times this happens. The man who has worked very hard in the city for years and years, he start at a particular time, start thinking, what is this life? That is when Krishna says, anityam asukham lokam. That is when he will understand that those two words, anityam asukham lokam. Otherwise, he will not understand. When Krishna says like this, he has to go through this cycle, that he has to work very hard, like an ass, whole day and night, to make money, and to accumulate wealth, and many desires inside and burning all the time with so many desires and plans. And finally, one day he realizes, is it all worth? What is it worth? So at that time, when he will realize that, Krishna says, anityam asukham lokam, that realization will come. So we have to ask this question. Krishna says here that anityam, it is anityam as well as asukham. Two words Krishna has used there, isn't it? So, only when you see the transitory nature of the world, that means a person who is working and creating wealth, trying to enjoy life in this world, some point in time, he will ask this question, the very transitory nature of this world, that when he realizes that, it doesn't come very easily. In the early days, you are thinking, planning for the life, isn't it? But after a while, this planning will stop. You will know that all planning has no meaning. So when you come to that point, you will realize it is anityam. These two words are very important. These words are, this particular line, anityam asukham lokam, is an introduction to the 10th chapter. Krishna sees far ahead of what we see about our life in this world. That's why Krishna says to Arjuna, anityam. It is temporary, but we won't realize it. If somebody tells you it is anityam, you won't accept it. You will say, no, I've got another 60 years to go. I've got another 50 years to retire. Then I got my pension for another 20, 30 years. It's after that I'll go, he'll say. Krishna says, it's not like that. You have to come to that realization long before that. That's why he's saying anityam. So to come to that point of anityam, it takes a while. It takes a while. Krishna says there, only if you have come to that point, then you will ask, is there a vastu which is nityam? Instead of anityam, is there something which is nityam? You will ask that question. So, similarly, after experiencing so much of distress in life and working very hard in this world and eventually getting frustrated with everything, and then you know the miseries of this world, asukham. Then Krishna says, you will realize this word, what I have spoken, asukham. Otherwise, you won't realize this asukham. When Krishna says asukham, we will say, what's wrong with this world? Everything is going on well. Why should I change? This will be our mood inside. And we will say that maybe Krishna has spoken this to get us into spiritual life. Maybe you may interpret it like that. But it is not so. The idea is that Krishna says that when you realize these things, then come to me. Imam Prapapa Jasuma, he says. So, up to that point, this is a problem. So, when we know that it is anityam, then you have to ask the question, where is nityavastu? Nityavastu, isn't it? So, it is like this. And nityamaya, nityasatyam. Nityasatyam or nitya means satyam. What is the satyam? And that question will naturally come up inside us. So, at that time, whatever Vedam has spoken before, that's all rejected. Earlier, Vedam is telling us to ask for things, isn't it? Like we saw in the Sri Rudram. So many things Vedam is asking us to ask for it. But when you have come to this point, anityam, and you want to inquire after the satyam, nitya vastu, satyam, eternal truth, at that time all what you have asked before, that's all rejected, that's all discarded at that time. That is the Vedic system. That it is not that day one everyone will go for the truth, is it not? So therefore, and normally you can see, science has given us all the material comforts, and later on you will see this, that these comforts are only actually creating more distress in some form or the other. Therefore, we have to transcend. We have to transcend, Krishna says, go beyond. So, similarly, when you go beyond than that, Krishna is saying here that the that this desire for acquiring something or to come to that perfection, that goes away. And that sukham, or what you are looking for, was not in the object. We will realize that. We will realize that it's not in the object. So, only thing is, shanti or perfection or that satisfaction to know, it will not come from the temporary object. It will only come from the nitya vastu. This realization takes time to come to that point. A lot of distress in life and a lot of reflection inside will make us to come to this understanding. Some people, even after the age of 85 also, they cannot. Because they never thought about it in that way. They only know this world, and as long as we are here, let's have a good time. This is their thinking. But Bhagavad Gita is giving us this important lesson to us, that anityam asukham logam. If you have understood these two words properly inside, then Krishna says there is some hope. Then we can discuss the rest of the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, it will simply remain as a academic level, simply a exercise, entertainment, or whatever way it is. So, shanti, peace, satisfaction, that perfection inside is possible when one is in this state, anityam asukham logam. You have to come to that understanding and realization, anityam asukham logam. That's why Krishna is saying that. Very, very, so, kim punar brahmana punyam, bhaktar ajarshayastada, anityam asukham logam. That's how he puts it. Imam prapya pajaswamam. He says like that, isn't it? So the same thing, that one who has come to that point, I want to understand what is permanent here. Everything seems to be temporary, isn't it? Everything seems to be temporary. And this very temporary nature itself cannot give happiness. Very temporary nature itself. It'll give you distress and go. That's what it does at the end. It'll give you very heavy distress and it will leave you at some point in time in life. So, therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam also you will see, when Parikshit Maharaj met Shuka Brahmarshi first time, when he asked, what is the question he raised there? If you look, he says, Kim Kartavyam, Kim Japtavyam, he asked, what is my duty so that I can find my eternal nature? I want to be permanent. I don't want these temporary dealings. I just want to come to a state where I am permanently fixed in that. Don't want to go through these temporary cycles, up and down all the time. So what should I do for that? He asked this question. And what should I think about? And what should I meditate upon? What should I chant? All these questions he has asked in that first canto, in the end you will see this. He will ask this question to Parikshit, is asking this to Shuka Brahmarshi in the first canto. At the very end, he will ask this. Kim japtavyam, kim kartavyam, so many. Shrudumichami, I want to hear. You can see that Parikshit state there. Because why? Parikshit realized anityam asukham logam. Is it not? As soon as he had everything in life. He was the emperor of the planet and so much material opulences. But he realized all opulences, and he was not a very old person either. He was a young person. And all that material opulences, everything, as soon as this Brahmana boy put his tongue out and spoke two words, it's all over, finished. Everything is over. Death comes. Material opulences, everything gone. And when Parikshit realized this, he understood that this is the nature of material life.
Anityam asukham logam. Is it not? You know that in the Bhagavatam, these verses, isn't it? That finally, that is how it is spoken. So you'll see there that in the Bhagavatam, how Bhagavatam introduces with the same concept, anityam asukham logam. It's given so importance in the Bhagavatam also, that he says that, he says, if you look into the second canto, you will see the same thing. That Parikshit is asking the same question also there. That and before Shukha Brahma, she starts his so Andakali tu Purusha Agade Ganasadvasa and Shiju Vegam Mano Yachin Jasa Bhajasa. एदावान सांघयोग्याभ्याम स्वधर्म परिनिष्ठया जन्मलाभ परपुंसाम अंदे नारायण स्मृति बिफोर दैट ही सेज दैट इज द फोर्थ और फिफ्थ वर्स तस्मात् भारत सर्वात्मा भगवान ईश्वरो हरि श्रोतव्य कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यश्चेच्छदा भयम् दैट इज द इंपॉर्टेंट वर्स दैट इज द फिफ्थ वर्स इन द सेकंड कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर ही सेज श्रोतव्य कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यश्चेच्छदा भयम् What will give me a freedom from this fear? Fear of what? Anityam asukham logam. This is my situation. He realized this. Parikshit realized this when Sukadeva Goswami came. By then he got cursed by Sringi, and he knows it's all over. It's all over. Life is over for him. Body is going to go. All the opulence is going to finish. And he realized, anityam asugham logam, what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita. And that is what has prompted him. So he is asking, what is nityam then? If this is all anityam, the world, what we are God, where is nityam then? And that is that question there. He says, shrodavyaha kirtidavyascha smartavyascha chadabhayam. What should I hear? What should I do? And so that I'll get released from this fear of material life. Material life means fearful, always. Material existence, isn't it? So, you can see that this is there in everyone who is seeking the truth. Who is seeking the truth? This question must be there. What is the truth then? What is permanent then? This temporary thing, I have experienced enough, I have seen the nature of it. Comes, gives you distress and it goes. This is the nature of the temporary thing. So what is permanent then? That is the question he was asking there in that in that verse, isn't it? So the same way you can see here in Krishna's this is how you have to study Bhagavatam. That look at Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita and how that comes into the life of these great devotees like Parikshit and others. So that's the same question he has asked there. And whether anityam asukham logam, that is the realization from that chapter. Anityam asukham logam. So in that two words, everything is included. Everything is included. Whatever you may get it, anityam asukham logam. Anityam asukham logam. No matter what position you have in this world, anityam asukham logam. Whether you are Prime Minister, President or some big businessman, doesn't matter. Anityam asukham logam. Whether you are a poor person, anityam asukham logam. Everything is anityam asukham logam. So, this is a kind of intelligence inside us. Vivekam, as it is called. This is called Vivekam. Vivekam means this able to discriminate things in a very subtle level. Not in a gross level, in a very subtle level inside us. And when you start inquiring at that time, what is the truth which is permanent? And at that time, we will look for something inside us starts building up. An inquiry begins at that time. That is what we called yesterday as jitnyasa. That jitnyasa is that thing. Jitnyasa is not the same as samshayam, which is different, isn't it? Normally we are used to samshayam, doubts. Doubts is different from jitnyasa. Jitnyasa comes from the heart. It is an urge from inside. Doubt is on the mental platform. People ask doubts. Doubts has no meaning. You will ask one doubt, you get an answer, you will have 10 doubts more from that. It will multiply in tens or hundreds. And then finally you will see, I shouldn't have asked this. I asked because I got more confused now by asking this question. That comes from the mind. Krishna also says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? I think the fourth chapter somewhere. Samshayalpa Vinashari, he says. One who asks doubts, he is going to get destroyed eventually. He will finish. He won't be able to survive in spiritual life. One who is asking, who has got doubts, he said. So doubts is not the way to deal in spiritual life. Jitnyasa is the way. And it is based on jitnyasa. Krishna says, pariprasnena sevaya. That prasnam comes from jitnyasa. That is the way spiritual life goes. Doubt, asking questions, that's all on mundane things. Spiritual life, you don't. You have no doubts. Spiritual life is very clear. Jitnyasa, increasing. Yesterday what we discussed that, all that. So, and we will find various ways to come to get to the truth. Because inside, you want something that is permanent, that you don't want to keep on going through these changes. That is why it is mentioned like that. You will see this. Is there a permanent thing? This inquiry will begin. This inquiry will begin. You will see in Kathopanishad the same thing. When Nachiketas went to Yamadharma Raja, he is asking the same questions. He says, Nityo Nityanam, Prabhupada quotes this thing. Nityo Nityanam Chedanas Chedananam Ego Bahunam Yo Vithadadi Kaman. Those two lines you will see in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada quoting those two lines. But that verse is not complete. There is two more lines to it. What does it say? Tamalpmastam ye anupashyandi dhiraha tesham shandi shashwadi netaresham. That is a complete verse. Nityo nityanam chedanas chedananam ego yo bahunam yo vidadadi kaman tamalpmastam ye anupashyandi dhiraha tesham shandi shashwadi netaresham. That is the verse. Nityo nityanam chedanas chedananam eko bahunam yo vitadadi kaman. So Krishna is saying, Kathopanishad says like this, that in the middle of so many anityam, anityam means temporary things. We are in the middle of that. So many temporary things. In the middle of all that, you are looking for nityam. That is how it is. Nityo anityanam. Among in the middle of so many anityam, you are looking for the nityam. And some intuition is inside us telling us that there is somewhere, there is something nityam, permanent. Not everything is anityam. There is a nityam in the middle of all this anityam. In the middle of all this anityam, there is truth inside there. And that intuition we have, and that intimation we have, it is keeping that insight that we have come to spiritual life. We have come to spiritual life keeping that understanding, isn't it? If you look into anybody's life who has come to spiritual life, who has taken to spiritual life, you'll see that he is searching for something because he knows very well that this life in this world, this happiness in this world, it's not the truth. He knows that. That's why he has come to spiritual life. Because he knows, he sees that, the nature of it. It's temporary and it's giving distress at the end and going away. So this cannot be the truth. He knows very well. That's why he's searching after the truth. That's what it is saying. Nityo nityanam chedanas chedananam ego bahunam vitadati kaman. And so that spiritual life, Krishna is saying here, when you start inquiring about that nityam, and that mood has come inside, you have started looking for that inside, it does not matter even if you have even if you had Abhijit Sudhuracharya, Krishna says, even if you are accustomed to bad habits, doesn't matter, you will be released. So you can see there, Krishna gives importance to this. Have you genuinely got serious inquiry of the truth? Whether you are accustomed to bad habits or you come from a difficult background, that is not the question. Question is, how serious are you? That's why Krishna gives weight for. You may be following so many rules and regulations, but if you don't have this jijnyasa of inquiring after the truth, nityavastu, permanent thing, Krishna doesn't consider that very nice. Krishna says, even if he has got all the problems in this world, due to, as I mentioned yesterday, about due to birth or due to circumstances, many of us are put in difficult situations. It doesn't matter, Krishna says. But once this inquiry begins seriously in him, Krishna says he is on a higher level than the person who is following all the rules and regulations in this world. Therefore, Krishna mentioned yesterday, we saw Abhijit Sudhiracharya Bhajate Imam Ananya Bhag Sadhureva Samandavya Samyang Vyavasido Hisa. He mentioned like that, isn't it? So, ordinary people in this world, ordinary people, they generally ask this question. What is that? They'll say like this, oh, somebody, he's a very nice person, but why is he suffering like this? Although he is a very good person. Always you will see, when somebody dies, people will make this comment. Oh, he was such a nice person. Whole society loved him. He loved everybody. So many remarks will come like that in the newspaper. And then why did this happen to him? They'll make this statement, would they? You'll hear this all the time. And you start wondering what's wrong with this world. Yes, up to yesterday till he died, he was not a nice person. Only when he died, he became suddenly nice. Such a gentleman he has become. Oh, he was all the society, he was so good at the society, helped the society so much and things like that. So, and people are suffering like that, and sometimes people are in distress. So, both good people and the bad people suffer here. There's no exception to that. Good people suffer here and the bad people also suffer here. What is the reason for that? It's all on the relative plane. It's all on a relative plane. In the relative plane, everybody is the same. So you may ask the question, why good people have to suffer? Why should they suffer? So here in the material world, this good and bad is all on a relative platform. It's on a relative platform. So both the good person and the bad person, he is also within the same circle. Is also within the same circle. Just like jnani or an ajnani, realized soul or an ignorant person. So, only these two people exist in this world. Not good person and bad person. Good person and a bad person can be ajnani. Do you understand? Good person and the bad person can be ajnani. Realized soul is only one different from the conditioned soul. Condition one means who is ajnani. Ajnani and jnani, that you can, these are the difference in the, that is the way you have to categorize people. Jnani and ajnani. Jnani doesn't suffer, ajnani will suffer. Good person and bad person, doesn't matter, he will suffer. Whoever it is, it maybe doesn't matter. So you can see this, it is like this, a good person, bad person is like this. That somebody, here we are supposed to keep to the left while driving, isn't it? If you go to America, you have to keep to the right while driving. That's the difference between the two. So in other words, if you keep driving, keeping to the left, if you ask that, he will get liberated. And the one who keeps to the right, he won't get liberated. So those things are, keeping to the right and left, is for the convenience of this world. These rules have been formulated. So that similarly, this good person, bad person also is a rule similar to that in this world, isn't it? So everything on a relative plane, good man, bad person, everything. As long as, Krishna is saying, as long as you are a ajnani, you will suffer. That is Krishna's rule. Krishna's rule, if you do not have that spiritual knowledge and realization, you must suffer. That is the understanding. And that is the law of the Shastram. Shastram law is like that. And in this world, you cannot change the prakriti, material nature. All you can do with the help of the knowledge, you can transcend the Prakriti. You can't change the rules of Prakriti. Material nature rules you can't change. But you can transcend the Prakriti through knowledge. That is what knowledge does. So, that is why Krishna is also saying in the Bhagavad Gita, only through jnanam you will get the solution to the problem. Only through realization. Freedom from this distress. Only through realization. Shanti. Anityam asukham, that is Prakriti's law that you can't change. That is a very important point Krishna is making there. Anityam asukham lokam, that is a law of Prakriti. Prakriti's law, that is, that you cannot change it. What you can do through jnanam, jnanena tu kaivalyam, through knowledge, you can transcend Prakriti. You can go beyond Prakriti. That is possible. That's all you can do here. What we normally think is that we can change this world and make it a better place to live here by our efforts and by economic development or by other means, by preaching or whatever we do. We can change the world and make this place happy. Krishna is saying that if you think like that, you have not understood Bhagavad Gita. If you look back into the 9th chapter, Krishna told us very clearly, anityam asukham lokam. Is it not? And if you are thinking that you can change that, that means you have not understood what Krishna is saying. And you are still thinking that you can make this world better. Krishna says, don't waste your time. All you can do here, he is giving us the option. All you can do here is, don't try to change the Prakriti. That is Prakriti's law. Anityam asukham lokam. You can transcend that through knowledge and go beyond them. That is the only escape route. There is no other escape here. And after transcending, after going beyond that, you can live in this world. And it will not create the same distress what you used to experience otherwise. What you would have experienced otherwise. And that is the only way Krishna says you can escape. You can escape from here. So, therefore, if you continuously hold on to the last verse, that is why Krishna said immediately after that, manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mama veshasi yuktam me atmanam matparayanah. There he said, what did he say? Atmanam matparayana. That is the solution. Continuously surrendering to Krishna. That is what that verse is pointing at. Continuously, two things, self-inquiry one side, on the other side surrender. Shraddha or the seriousness in spiritual life on one side, surrender on the other side, Sharanagati on the other side. That is that Atmanam Matparayana, that is the only way you can do this, Krishna is saying. Anityam Asukham Logam, you can come out of that if you have Atmanam Matparayana. Manmana Abhava Madbhakto Madhyajimam namaskuru mam evishasi yuktaivam atmanam matparayanah. We should not simply think manmana bhavamadhakto means madhyajimam. Normally that verse, how do we understand? Normally we think that verse means that manmana, you become my devotee. That means what? Shave up, change the clothes and get initiated. And then I become your devotee. Madhyajivan Maskur, pay your obeisances every time you go to the temple, pay all the time obeisances. Mama Veshis Madhyajivam Namaskuru. Mama Veshis Yuktaivam Alpanamatparay. They are not completely rejected, but the spirit behind that verse is the last line. What is that? Alpmanam Matparayana. If you are not Matparayana, Krishna is not considering us as a devotee. That is the key. Sharanagati, main principle is Sharanagati. Bhakti is nothing but Sharanagati. Sharanagati means what? Never allowing that false ego to build up inside, to wake up inside. Always through self-inquiry, keeping that ego under control. Ahamruti, isn't it? Aham, 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 all the time. What we are experiencing is that false ego inside, what we come out from there, isn't it? Manasa, buddhi, ahangaram, chittam. That ahangaram, the third thing, which is always identification with the jiva. Identification with the jiva. This jiva concept is a very interesting thing if you understand what jiva means. ജീവോ ജീവസ്യ ജീവനം. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ജീവത്വം മീൻസ്? ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് വെരി വെൽ ഡിസ്കസ്ഡ് ദിസ് ഇഷ്യൂ ഓഫ് ജീവ ഇൻ ദി ജീവസ് പൊസിഷൻ. വാട്ട് ഡസ് ദിസ് ജീവ മീൻസ് ആക്ച്വലി? ജീവ ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഈവൺ എ പെർമനന്റ് തിങ് അഹങ്കാരം ഈസ് ജീവ. ദാറ്റ് അഹങ്കാരം ഓർ ഫോൾസ് ഈഗോ, വൈ ഇസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾ? ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഫ്രം ദേർ ദ വേർഡ് ജീവിതം ഹാസ് കം. ജീവിതം മീൻസ് ലൈഫ്. വാട്ട് ഇസ് ലൈഫ്? ജീവിതം മീൻസ്, ജീവിതം മീൻസ് നത്തിങ് ബട്ട് ദ പാസ്റ്റ് ടൈംസ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് അഹങ്കാരം. വാട്ട് ഡസ് ദാറ്റ് മീൻ? ഗ്രോയിങ് അപ്പ്, earning money, getting married, having children, and having a comfortable material life, all this is centered around this ahankaram, is it not? So therefore jeeva and jeevitam are connected each other. Jeevitam is life in this world. So when we are able to stop that activities of ahankaram, false ego's activity, then jeevam, jeeva dies. Jiva dies. Jiva doesn't exist after that. It's finished. Then that is what this keeping that ahankaram under check, false ego under check, that is that atmanam mat parayana. Surrendering to Krishna means that never allowing that ego to rise inside. Ego to rise inside. So here you can see there that in the spiritual life, for people who are so sometimes you will see those who are taken Krishna shelter, they also get distress, isn't it? Like those who have not taken shelter, they get distress in life. Equally, you will suffer, you will get sort of distress also in life. So there are many people in this world, for them Krishna is not important. When I say Krishna is not important, means they don't believe in any superior authority. They just live their life in this world. Nothing is important for them. And still you find them, they live happily in this world. They have not taken anybody's shelter, Krishna's shelter. They don't study Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or any scriptures. So they have no interest in anything like that. And still appears to be, they are living as good people. There are good people in this world. They have their own morals, but they don't believe in any higher authority. You will see like that. But Krishna's point is, for such people, for them spiritual knowledge, spiritual life, God, all these things are not important. All these things are not important. If you observe them carefully, you'll see that temporarily they will be happy. Temporarily they will be happy. But as soon as material nature gives some trouble to them, you will see everything changes. Everything changes. At that time you will know that if they have some bhakti inside, if it is proper bhakti or not, it will come out at that time. It will come out at that time. So sometimes when material nature puts the iron on your body, heated iron rod or something like that, you will get angry with Krishna. Why have you done this to me? Why have you done this to me? So many years I have executed devotional service, deity worship, and chanting the holy name. What for I have done all these things? What is you are giving it to me like this now? What is the reason? Because we are still in the relative plane. That is why it is like that. We are still in the relative plane. So when we cross this relative plane, is a problem. When you are on the relative plane, this experience will be there. But once you have crossed beyond this relative plane, that this crossing this relative plane is called going dvandvam, exceeding the dvandvam. Dvandvam, duality. Duality is in the relative plane, isn't it? You know this word dvandvam, isn't it? Dvandvam in the Bhagavad Gita also comes. Krishna says many places about dvandvam. Dvandvam means it's duality, which is in the relative plane. So if you want to go beyond dvandvam, duality, there is only one way, knowledge, jnanam. Jnanam is the only way. Because if that jnanam is there, then we will come out of this dream. It is a dream. This dvandvam is a dream. Dvandvam is a dream. Like we explained yesterday also, that these three states Krishna has given us, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. We have realized it, that if you study these three states well, you will notice the interesting aspects of that. In Sushupti, you can see you leave the body behind, mind behind, intelligence away, ego gone, and none of the recognition of this world exists in you at that time. You are not a man or even a woman. Man, woman, all those things have gone. And you have also lost all other identities, father, mother, brother, sister, whatever identity you have in this world, all gone. All your professional identities like engineer, doctor, lawyer, banker, whatever, solicitor, whatever it is, that's also gone. In fact, by losing everything, you're gone into a state, and when you come back and you're saying that you had a good time in that Sushupti state, is it not? Why did Krishna create these three states? That question always comes, isn't it? In order to teach us to come to spiritual life. That is the idea behind it. That giving you an indication of that, in this very same body, that in Sushupti, when you have given up everything, you felt happy. Not by getting things. That is the Sushupti's beauty. Now, if you look into the dream state's beauty, what is the beauty of the dream state? How Krishna has created this creation. That is what he's teaching us. How does he teach us that? He's teaching us that, look, you are creating in the dream state. What have you created? As I mentioned yesterday, you have creating everything in the dream. Just like if I go back and start in my sleep of my dream this room with everybody inside here. In reality, there is nobody there. I have to become each one of you there in the dream, isn't it? It's me who become everyone in the dream. Not only persons, I have to become the hall, I have to become the lights, the mic, the table, everything. I have to become that. It's me who is creating. What's more interesting there is, after creating everything and the class is going on, I'll be standing separately and watching that. Me speaking and you are all listening, I'll be standing separately and watching that. That is the dream state. What does it indicate to us? Krishna is saying to us, exactly like the way it's happening to you in your dream state, this creation is my dream, Krishna is saying. This whole creation is Krishna's dream, is this world. Although we say, no, 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 this cannot be. We, as soon as the dream goes, we wake up and we say, oh, it was just a dream, we say. But this dream, this Jagrat state, the vacant state, is the just like in Sushupti, you experience liberation and enjoyed the beauty of liberation. In the dream state, you have enjoyed the beauty of creation. Similarly, what is the beauty of this vacant state? The vacant state is the state where Krishna is teaching us how powerful the Maya is. Only in this vacant state you will understand Maya, isn't it? How Maya is playing football with us every time. Each one of us. Is it not? Maya teaching us that look, once you come to me, this is what you get from me. That's the way it is. So, Jagrat or vacant state is to become conscious of Maya. Dream state is to become conscious of creation. And the deep sleep state is to become conscious of liberation. This is how these three states, based on Sattva, Rajas, Tamogunam, the three modes of nature, the three states have come into system. All religious processes in this world only takes into account the vacant state. And that is why Vaidika philosophy, Vedam, differs from all of them. Vedam says to us, you have to take these three states total because soul is not only in the vacant state. It is the same soul who is going through dream state and going through deep sleep. That is how you have to analyze it, not looking at it simply from the vacant state and saying that this is everything. Because that shows the limitations of those processes. Any intelligent man can understand that. Isn't it? If you are just looking at vacant state and making judgment based on that, without even giving any consideration to dream and deep sleep state, that's not a very sound, logical way of presenting the truth, is it? It makes no sense. That dream state is there, why we don't give any importance to it? Deep sleep is there, why we don't give any importance to it? Simply thinking that this is all, the whole thing, what I see through my senses and this world. And that, what you see through your senses even, that is not even perfect. What to talk about dream state and deep sleep. As I mentioned before, when you have five senses, you will see the world through the five senses. When the living entities has got two or three senses, they will see the world in another way. The trees and the plants and the creepers, they will see the world in a different way. Lion, tigers, they all see the world in a different way. Whose world is real? Which world is real now? So how will you answer that question? So it shows that how limited the understanding of the truth, that is what makes it spiritual life. It's not a religion. It's spiritual life. Spiritual life makes it perfect based on sound reasoning and logic. Vedantam is very answerable to all these questions. These questions should not come up again. So that is why, so you can see here, in the dream state, also you experience the same thing, good and bad, isn't it? The same relative plane what you are experiencing there. Can you, when you wake up from the dream state, can you separate only the good things and not remember the bad things? That's not possible. Is it not? In the same way, it's the same thing. So, just like if you are hungry in the dream state, you're feeling hungry, and somebody has given you a leaf to have your prasadam, put the leaf on front of you, and he has served you all the different items, what you like. He has given you everything to eat. And you are eating all that. You are eating all the things what you are eating. At by time, a tiger came. And you got frightened, you left the plate, everything there, and ran away from there. So, while running away, you thought, what can I take from the plate, what I like the best, and you took two laddu from there, and kept it with you, while running away from there. So, while running, you woke up from the dream. And then, see, this is the beauty of the dream state. Dream state also should be looked at. So, when you woke up, you lost the laddu, but you escaped from the tiger. Isn't it? So so afterwards you realized that you escaped from the tiger and you lost the laddu also. Laddu also didn't come with you. Isn't it? So Krishna is saying to us that study this dream state properly and from there understand that the laddu in the only the laddu from the dream state, you cannot take it to Jagrat. Is it not? You have to take the tiger also with you. You can't take only the laddu. Similarly, when through knowledge of the self, through self-realization, when it wakes up inside, the happiness and the distress that you are experiencing through duality, through dvandvam, both will go. This is what you have to learn from this dream state. First of all, we have to understand what dvandvam means, duality means. Everything on a relative plane, isn't it? Everything on a relative plane it is happening. Happiness, distress, good man, bad person, good person, bad person. Everything is dvandvam here, isn't it? Full of dvandvam in the world. You will notice daily life also, in the morning you feel very good. Afternoon you feel very miserable. Every day you can see this. Moment by moment, it's changing. Our change of our happiness. What did they call it? The feel good factor is changing. The factor is changing every moment. So if it is changing like this, it is dvandvam. Dvandva tidikshaya cha in the Bhagavad-gita it says. So dvandvam is something which is continuously, which is fluctuating. It's fluctuating all the time. So, this change is dvandvam. This change is dvandvam. It's not steady, in other words. So, that dvandvam, because of that dvandvam duality, we are experiencing distress. That is what is causing the problem. We take something as good, something as bad, something is happiness, something is distress. This is all dvandvam. In fact, all what we experience is based on the platform of the body and the mind, isn't it? Good man, bad person, on what basis? Based on the body. And we say somebody is a good person based on his performance in this world. Otherwise there is nothing much to say. Good. Most of the things good, bad is all based on this duality principle. On the basis of duality principle. So, so you can see from here, sometimes something what you have thought that is giving you happiness, that same thing will give you distress tomorrow. Is it not? Somebody say, you had a close association with someone for a long period of time. Both of you got on very well. And there was a very nice relationship going on. One day, due to some situation, that relationship broke up and gone. So, then it gives you a lot of distress also. So, because it is like that, you will start realizing that all that things I am experiencing is not real happiness. It's not real happiness. So, as long as from all these things we will come to understand that so long as our happiness is centered around any object outside in this world, if it is centered around that we will never get that sukham which is nityam, permanent, which will not happen. So it's a very important conclusion one has to arrive at. Any happiness, if it is centered around any object in the world outside us, if our happiness is centered around that, that object will give you distress one day and it will go. You will never get this, what Krishna says here, nityam and sukham. It will always be anityam, asukham. If you can digest that statement, what Krishna has spoken there, then you have gone very far in the spiritual life. You will go a very long way, because nothing can touch you in this world after that. No distress can give you trouble then, if you have accepted that. Accepted means if you have realized this. But if there also if we have doubt, then there's nothing can be done. This is the principle. Principle is this, that why rishis, sages, they are indicating this to us, says that before you come to spiritual life, get all these things clear in your mind. Then any happiness what you are experiencing now in this world, if it is centered around your any object outside, that includes your body. Including your body, mind, family, society, bank balance, job, any other holidays, whatever, you know, whatever you think is giving you happiness in this world. If the happiness is centered around any of these things, one day it will give you distress and it will go. One way or the other, it will happen. That's the way it is. That is why Krishna is saying here, asukham. So that is, that realization means that it is all going to give me distress. Therefore, I should be careful with this world. I should be careful. I will not get any happiness from here. If you have come to that understanding, Krishna says there, then you can look for nityam, nitya vastu, permanent thing in this world. So that happiness will not be there, permanent, nor you will be permanent in this body here. In this body here. So just like when you are taking some sweets, you are happy, isn't it? So afterwards that sweet will go, sweet is finished, it's not there. So either the sweet we won't get it enough what you want, or you won't be able to eat the sweet. Diabetes or something will come and it will put the stop there. Something will happen in life. So that is the indication, or some kind of, the sweet is there, I'm there, but diabetes is there. What can I do? So, and otherwise, there is no diabetes, and I'm staying healthy, I am there, but sweet is not there to eat. All these situations, these are all duality, dvandvam in the world. So that is how we have to understand this world. These are smaller examples to take everything in the same way. You have to analyze other things as well. Planning things and thinking that it will all work out in the way we want, it won't happen. So that is what Krishna is saying here. So so either way it can happen. The example is only to tell us that in relative plane, in other words, what Krishna is saying here, on a relative plane, you won't get everything together. You won't get everything together. You can see this. Any sense gratification, suppose you want to continue with it forever, it's not possible. Either the body will say, you can't have it anymore, body will fail, or the sense gratification will stop. Isn't it? On a permanent basis, on a perpetually, you can't keep it going. No sense gratification is possible. Any sense gratification, the very nature is like that. Whether if you are eating laddu or whether you are having any other kind of sense enjoyment, up to some point, either body will say, no, I can't handle it anymore, or you won't get the sense gratification what you want. So this disparity is always there. That's why it's on a relative plane. That's why it's on a relative plane. Krishna is saying like that. So when you are on that relative plane, Bhagavad Gita will not have its effect. When you are on that relative plane, this is important. When you are on that relative plane and you are trying to understand and accept Bhagavad Gita, you will find that it is not working. You will find an unbalance there between Bhagavad Gita and the plane in which we are situated. So these tattvam, these important tattvam what Krishna has spoken, and that is important to know the essence of Bhagavad Gita, to understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Because the reason for that is that so if you keep your eyes and ears open, and if you look at the world, that sometimes some people are older members, even in this room, some people are older people, some people are young people here, isn't it? Some people are old, some people are young. So older people has one benefit compared to the young people. What is that? Many things what we have spoken so far is in their experience. That is the advantage of the old age. We had a lot of kicks in life from everywhere. Material nature has taught us many things. So that advantage is there in the old age, isn't it? So youngsters may not have that experience. But both has got its own benefit. Both has got its own benefit. Though, because those who are in the youth, they have got the advantage that they have got the time to know the science of Bhagavad Gita and to try it out in life and to see the benefit from that. They have got that opportunity to do that. They have a chance for that. For the older people, for them, they know very well what mistake they have done in their life. They know that. Outside we will say, oh, everything is going on, my spiritual life is flying, we will say. But I know what is going on in my own life, and I'm sure that others also recognize the same thing. Older people know that, what has happened in life, they wasted their time. That they know. Everybody knows that, they wasted all their life and still wasting and still thinking when to start spiritual life. So, that is that. So just like, if you read these Bhagavad Gita verses, those who got that proper discrimination, they will know that. So, it's just like when you got burned in somewhere in your hand, at the place where it's burned, you put some ointment or balm to cool it down. In the same way, if you show the mirror in front of the older person, he will know what is happening. You just have to show the mirror in the front. Then you will know the time is out. It's coming to an end. There's not much to look forward to. There's nothing much going to happen in life anymore. All that realization. Similarly, you can see here also Krishna is saying that, the same point, the satsangam will be very effective if you are early life, if you are able to take it and take it on board and use this understanding. And that's a big subject also. So therefore, but at the same time, if at the right age, if you don't get it, then it is very difficult also in the old age to bring it back into life again. So therefore, you can see it is because of this reason only. You will see in the Varnashrama Dharmam, you have Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, isn't it? The four states are spoken like that. So all these reflections is in the Vanaprastha stage. Why? Because by then he has gone through the life quite a bit. By the age of 50, one should go into Vanaprastha Ashrama. And had enough knocks from everywhere, suffered heavily in the life and gone through all. So you start becoming more reflective in that Vanaprastha stage. So in one way it is beneficial. And after a particular age in life, you know very well that life is not what I was imagining life is. What I was thinking that life is, what I thought about that, or what I thought in my imagination, that's not what actually life is. So wherever you look, you will see the old people are dying, and sometimes young people are also dying. Young people are also dying. And sometimes you think that you can remain happily in this world and suddenly some disease comes and completely finished all your plans. Everything is over, isn't it? So, and some kind of disease which you cannot handle, can't do anything about it. So, all these forces you have seen in the life. You will see these things in life all the time, isn't it? But after seeing all these things, why it doesn't have any effect on us? Why doesn't have any effect on us? So that is why Bhartrahari was a famous personality who wrote Vairagya Shatakam. You can read through it if you want. You will see there, he says, sun rises and sun sets in the evening. And death, birth, death, old age, diseases, everything he is experiencing in everyday life and still he is not waking up. Adityasya Gadaha. He talks about that. And he also mentioned there, man, he says, is addicted to sometimes certain things like alcohol, drinking alcohol or smoking cigarettes. All these things, he says, is not too bad, he says. It's not so bad, according to Bhartrahari. He says like this. Worse than that, he says, this addiction to think that I am a good person. If you think that taking alcohol or taking drugs is bad, he says it's not so bad, he says. Because at least you won't be thinking I am a good person. But that person who is thinking he's not addicted to alcohol and drugs, so I am a good person, he is bad, he says. Is why? Because this realization hasn't come to him yet. Which realization? That to escape from here. That is what Bhartrahari's Vairagya Shatakam is talking about. Vairagya Shatakam, 100 verses about Vairagyam, he discusses that. Bhartrahari was a famous personality in Vikramaditya's court. He says that if you have not got this understanding, that you are in a worse situation than that. Because he says there, that the biggest possible is ganja or opium or things like that, charas and all those kind of things. If you take that, it has its effect. But the addiction, it's a more powerful drug, is the power of this world. When you want to get control in this world and control of, that addiction is much more powerful than the effect of this drug. Drug's effect, it will stay sometime, it will go. But this power of addiction for the power is much more stronger. And that means to be situated in a particular position and to achieve wealth in this world and to cultivate vanity through family and family members and all these kind of things. Krishna is saying here that asha, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, malsaryam. All these things is a bigger drug, he says. What does it do? What this drug does is that the problem with these drugs is it makes us convinced that everything is permanent here. That is the problem. All the other things, whereas ganja and charas and opium and all that, they doesn't do that. It gives you some illusion or hallucination for some time and then it leaves you. But these other things, they create a feeling in us that everything is permanent here. And when all these things are there, anityam asugam logam, realization won't happen. That is Krishna's point. So that is why sometimes you see that even after reaching old age, we are not able to leave the body. It is holding us back, isn't it? Moham, that illusion is a big problem. So that is why we are wandering around in this world like a ghost here and there everywhere. And it makes us crazy also sometimes. And due to that madness, where will I get, whether I go to Europe, America or somewhere else, where to become that happy? So, and one way or the other, wandering around. So, but something I have to get in life, Bhartrahari says that is that disease, he says like that. So, every day when sun rises and sun sets, every day, sakshiyate jividam, he says. In other words, just like there's a big pot of water, and there is a small hole in that. Through that, little by little, the water escapes. Water comes out of the pot. And one day, the whole water is empty. And he says that our life is also like that. That like the water comes out of the pot, which has got a hole, in the same way, this life runs out. If you compare that, it is very much like that, isn't it? Our life runs out every moment in this way. So, and we are able to that, in spite of all these things, we are able to do a lot of useless or nonsense or absurd things in this world. And we are busy with all that, things in this world. Because as far as that person is concerned, he is very serious what he is doing here. You ask some people, sometimes they are very busy. Ask them, what are you doing? You'll be saying, I have to fly here, I have to fly, I have to do this, I have to do that. So many things in this life. And he is very busy with that, isn't it? As far as he is concerned, he is very serious. So, and if you look at his face, and if you look what he is busy with, you'll think that he is so busy in this world, he's going to save this world from his activities, all these things. So, but if you look very carefully with all his activities, it is not doing anything good for him personally, or it's not doing anything good for anybody else in this world. You see, I'm talking about very big people who are, when you look at their life, this is an open thing, isn't it? It doesn't have, but you can't say this to them. If you say to them, the impression they carry is that they are doing something very important in this world. They're so busy that they have no time to talk to you, or they have no time to look into Bhagavad Gita or anything. They are so busy. And the reason, if you ask them that, they are saying that all their activities, either for themselves or for the rest of the world, is not doing anything good. And neither he has any peace inside. He has no peace inside. So here, his position, power, all these things, what he has got, is like a drug making him to accept it and make him to surrender to that and make him to do the work. That's all it is. All these big businessmen or business executives and chiefs and all that whom you observe in this world, eventually that's what their life is. Is it not? So, drishtva janma jara maranam. We are seeing all these things, but we don't think about it. And all his energy, what he has got in that life, is completely gone through that channel, through this drug what he had in his head. So instead of looking for a solution to the problem, rishis are, sages are telling us, the only solution is final and ultimate solution they are given to us. Don't look back into it again, he says. And everybody thinks in one's own family when trouble comes, oh, only in my family all these problems will happen. They think like that. 70, 80 year old grandfather or grandmother died. Why did this happen? Is there any solution for that? There is no solution, is there? So in many places, young people also are leaving their body, heart attack, cancer, or various other suffering. And we don't look at all these things. We just try to bypass all those things. We never give any attention to all of that. So, so still we are not willing to look any more serious to it and a solution to all this problem. We are satisfied otherwise with these petty things in life. Petty things in life. So instead of taking the spiritual life in its proper understanding, proper way, and we will only look at it, hear it from the brain and the mind, and we will say, yes, it was very interesting, and we'll go. With that, it's all over, isn't it? So Bhartrihari says that, rishis are also saying that it is affection also. Many people are not neurotic because of it. Neurotic because of it. Nervous trouble comes to them. But because of their attachment and because they think importance to all these things, it comes to them. Only thing is that department of discrimination, vivekam in them, that is not functioning in them. You see, totally functionless, in other words. That not able to see in life in the proper way things. Death is happening. Distress is coming in life in one form or the other. And you're endeavoring very hard and working hard to maintain this body and other things in this world, family life, everything. And everything is going in a wrong way and finally giving a lot of distress and going away. But still not learning any lesson from us. Pitva mohamayim pramada madira, he says. He is intoxicated and his brain has become very dull, says Bhartrihari. You should read that book, Vairagya Shatakam. It's on the internet. You can download it and read it. You'll see there. So, just like he says here, that he has lost his thought power. In other words, he's not able to think anymore. Just like when you start the engine doesn't start in the car. Similarly, you can't do anything anymore. Only when that thought power develops in a person, at that point, he will take things very seriously. So, at that time, it will have understanding, proper benefit from the satsangam. Proper benefit from the satsangam. At that point, Krishna is saying here that you will experience like a person when he is very thirsty. When he gets water, how he feel happy? In the same way, Krishna says that you will also feel the same benefit from satsangam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Rahugana says to Jadabharata this thing. If you look at it, you will say there in the fifth canto. Let's have a look. In the fifth canto, if you look, Rahugana says this to Jadabharata. He says there. What does he say? He says, Jaramayartasayadhagadam Satridhadagdhasya Yadha Himambham. He says there. Jaramayartasayadhagadam Satridhadagdhasya Yadha Himabhyam. He says that one who is leaving this body. Suppose he gets his body back into life in the same way. Or just like a very sick person who has got a nectar and he got recovered from his serious illness. Or he gives three examples. Or just like you didn't have rain for a long period of time, suddenly a lot of rain has come. How you will feel a happiness inside in the same way. Krishna is saying like that. So he says this, Jadabharata says this to him. So to that extent that seriousness comes inside, then only this Bhagavad Gita will be have some effect. Bhagavad Gita have some effect. In other words, we are not convinced about this keeping this body permanent. Isn't it? We are thinking that somehow if we can keep it for a long period of time. Permanent is not possible, that we know. But as long as we can, we are ready to settle for that. As long as we can keep in. So everyone is in that illusion also. So that is why we take the best insurance or the best hospital, wherever it is. We are willing to adjust that. So just like suppose you are driving the car and you had a puncture. And that puncture, you have to solve the problem, isn't it? And similarly, the car requires the fuel. You have to put the fuel in. Similarly, or repair work, whatever you have to do. But the car is not permanent. Even though you may fill the petrol, fix the car, maintain it, everything you may do for the car, but car is not permanent. Similarly, the body is like that, isn't it? Body is like that. So, similarly, this body also, you have to take it now and then to the doctor to get it fixed. You see, when it has got a problem. And similarly, you have to take the medicines, what is necessary. Everything has to be done. But if you come to the conclusion that this is the main goal of life, that means fixing the body is the whole business in life, then you have lost it. Then you have lost it. You didn't get it. Krishna's message didn't get in. Krishna is saying that like the car you have to do, the same thing you have to do some maintenance with the body and also you have to provide to keep it going. But that is not our main business here. Maintenance is something different. So it has to be maintained. But if you start thinking that to maintaining the body is the whole purpose, then it won't work. Why? Because if Bhagavad Gita has to work, you have to get this understanding inside, that strong urge or thirst or hunger for that permanent vastu, nitya vastu. That permanent vastu, nitya vastu, that urge has to come from inside. Only in that situation, Bhagavad Gita has some benefit. That is why in the Vedanta Sutram also what they say is Athato Brahma Jijnyasa. Athato Brahma Jijnyasa means that in that state. Vedavyasi Maharshi says like that. So, otherwise, Krishna says, or Vedavyasi is saying here, if you have come to that stage, then come for the Bhagavad Gita classes. If you have come to this understanding, otherwise, what will happen is you will memorize the verses, everything in the Bhagavad Gita, and you will start thinking about Bhagavad Gita in a different way. What will be that? How many verses are in the Bhagavad Gita? And is there anywhere competition about Bhagavad Gita? And how many verses Krishna has spoken? How many verses Sanjay has spoken? How many verses Dhritarashtra has spoken? You will get busy with all these kind of things in the Bhagavad Gita. So that is a research work, isn't it? That's research in the Bhagavad Gita. So, if you look, there was a famous personality, Bala Gangadhar Tilak. He spoken about Bhagavad Gita from the point of view of Karma Yoga. He was famous for that. Karma Yoga, he elaborated very well in his Bhagavad Gita commentary, where he says, Bala Gangadhar Tilak says like this, that all this is Bahiranga Parikshana. Bahiranga Parikshana means experimenting with the external things, not experiencing Bhagavad Gita, rather experimenting with Bhagavad Gita in external things. So, using Bhagavad Gita and doing research outside. All these things, how many verses are there, and intelligence will go in that direction, and it will not do anything good for us. It will not do anything good for us. So, in order that all these things to become effective, the Shravanam process has to be perfect. So, properly, the medicine is given properly. In that case, ordinary, nice, good medicine, it will not feel very sweet or very bitter, or it will not come back again from inside. Similarly, so a preparation, a mental preparation is necessary while studying Bhagavad Gita also. What is that? Two things. One, the world is what Krishna says, anityam asukham logam. That's the first realization to do that. Second thing, what you have to realize is that there is no solution to the problem here in this world. These two things. First thing, anityam asukham logam. It's temporary, it's full of misery. That realization deep down inside. And secondly, there is no solution to the problem in this world outside. Outside there is no solution. Inside there is solution. This understanding. Normally what do? When we have a problem, we go out straight away looking for the solution, isn't it? That's our general nature. Going to someone else or trying to counteract the problem. But if this understanding has come, what Krishna is saying here, anityam asukham lokam, imam prapya bhajasvamam, if that understanding has come, it's a recognition that the lokam, the world, is always temporary and misery. That is the nature, and there is no solution to this problem through any kind of action. No action, there is a solution. Whether it is laukikam or vaidikam, whether it is through the material way, with material way, material nature, or through the Vedic way, or through the Vedic way. So, neither through the laukikam, materialistic way, nor through the Vaidikam way. Vaidikam means that following the Vedic injunctions like that. By neither of them, you cannot reach the nitya vastu, the permanent thing. They require something different. When you come to know that, only then that Shravanam will work. I don't know whether you got that point. You see, of course you agree with this, that through material way it is not possible. But Vaidika way also, it is not possible till you have this realization inside, what we have spoken before, that Vaidika means, what it means is, Vedam gives us so many injunctions, isn't it? A way of life, different ways of life, Varnashrama Dharma and many other things to follow. Even if you follow those injunctions, it's not guaranteed that you will reach the goal. It's not guaranteed. Why? Because you haven't gone through and taken the message seriously, what Krishna is saying to us. Suppose you lived a Vedic way of life, but this understanding was not there. Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasumam. If it was not there. Nor manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru atmanam mad parayana. This didn't happen. But you followed the Vedic injunctions. Krishna says you won't get to the goal. So you understand the point, no? That principle, spiritual life, those things to live, Vedams tells us to live in a particular way. What's the idea behind it? So that we don't get entangled in vikarmam, all kinds of demonic activities, only to keep us on the right side, those injunctions in the Vedam. Yes. But that itself is not the goal by living that life. Ultimately, it should lead to this understanding. Which one? What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. These two things. Realization, anityam asukham lokam, one. Imam prapya bhajasvamam, second. If these two things happen, in order that to happen, Krishna is saying there proper shravanam is necessary. Shravanam must happen. Otherwise, it won't happen. This is why Shravanam Salsangam is so important. After all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, from whom all Vedam has come, and that Krishna is glorifying Salsangam in the Bhagavadam in such an elaborate way, and mentions there Arjuna to Uddhava, Uddhava, all these people have escaped from here through Salsangam, isn't it? The 12th chapter in the Bhagavadam, you can see there, Krishna mentions that. Khagaha, Nagaha, and he gave some amazing examples like who? Dharmavyadha. Lot of people have a lot of doubts about this Dharmavyadha's case. Why? Because they have not understood what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying to us, personalities like Dharmavyadha, Pingala, and people like Jadayu, and Vritrasura, Sugriva, Mahabali, Vibhishana, and gives a number of examples there. And they were not all who were born in the complete total Vedic tradition in, as such, isn't it? They didn't follow the injunctions strictly. Look at Sugriva, for example. But what happened to Sugriva at the end? Sugriva, somehow or the other, Ramchandra realized that this person is not going to make it on his own. Till Ramchandra himself gives it to him. So, Sugriva's life was not all that creditable in that many ways, isn't it? If you look at Sugriva's nature. But Sugriva escaped. Sugriva escaped from here. Vritrasura, and so many mentions there, Tvashta, Kayathu, and Kayathavadeya, it says there, isn't it? Prahlada. Look at all that. Gopis, all of them. Krishna is quoting all of them. He says they have all escaped from here. Why? Satsangam. The power of Satsangam. But in order that Satsangam to be effective, Krishna is saying these things. Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. That stage has to come first. Otherwise, it won't be effective. It won't be effective. So now you can see here that what it does is when we are ready to listen. That's the question. When you are ready to listen, then this Shravanam, that business will have its effect. And what a Shravanam does? Shravanam, what it does, it shows to you who you are, actually. Isn't it? It actually shows to you who you are. That's what it does. Makes you aware about your real identity, that you are not this body. Isn't it? So, that's all it does. So, we think that we have got distress in life, we have got a lot of problems in life. So, removing that is the goal of the Shravanam. Not otherwise, not to give you anything new. Already you are full, you are perfect inside. To point you out that perfection is already there inside. Purna Vastu. Only thing, and you already got it. But your shraddha has not fallen on that. Your attention has not fallen on the vastu inside. That's what we discussed in the 9th chapter. Is it not? Antaryami principle, what Krishna has spoken. We never took ourselves very seriously. Always we are thinking, somewhere else I have to get it from somewhere else, this spiritual realization. It is on this understanding we are living in this world. Therefore we run here, we run there, we go to so many people, we go to all the holy places and we spend time here, find there. Maybe somebody else will give it to me. It is kept somewhere in the, as though it's a package ready for delivery. DHL or someone is going to come and deliver it to you somewhere. It's not going to happen. What Krishna is saying is that all satsangam does is the vastu what you are looking for is right inside you. It's right inside you as Antaryami there. Realize him there, deserve it and own it, he says. You get it, realize it, the truth there and hold on to it, not to lose it again. That's all spiritual life is about. That's so, so it's already there, but we have to deserve it and then own it. So the question mark, how to deserve it, that will happen. So therefore, all the various injunctions in the Shastram, execute in this way, sadhana, these things. So this technique, this studying this book, that book, it will not happen. What it does is that it's just like a mirror, it shows in front of you. If you have some charcoal or something on your face, if you look at the mirror, you can see it there. Similarly, when we look at the Shastram, what Shastram does to us is, Shastram, like the mirror, is showing to us what's wrong with us. That's what Shastram does. By studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, what will happen is, it's just like looking at the mirror, man, look at the mirror, and he has got something, something like a coal or charcoal or something like that, some darkened face. And he looked in the mirror, he realized it that it's on my face. Similarly, when you study Shastram, particularly Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, what it does to us is, it is showing to us what's wrong with us. What is wrong with us. And that is the duty of the Shastram. And you may see so many things, everything, what is deity does to us is also that. When you go in front of the deity, when you see the deity, from inside, you have to recognize your own difficulties, weaknesses inside. What's wrong with us? That's what should understand, what should come out from that. So that experience inside, Krishna is saying here that when he mentioned in many places in the last chapter, that ananyatvam, what he spoke about that, that seeing Krishna there and Krishna is inside me as well. Somehow or the other, I have forgotten Krishna's presence inside me. Therefore, I am looking for him everywhere. It is Krishna everybody is looking for. We don't know that. And that Krishna whom he is looking for is already present there inside every one of us as Antaryami. That is what that 9th chapter is talking about. Isn't it? So, to stop this search outside and to see his presence inside everyone, so till that realization comes, Krishna says it won't come out properly. Because when you realize that Krishna whom you are looking for in the deity or in the world outside, that Krishna is very much inside you, when you realize that, the problem comes to an end. Krishna is saying like that. Problem comes to an end. So for only in that state, that your famous Upanishad statement, Tattvamasi, is that. Tattvamasi, you may have heard about that before. Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahma, I am Atman Brahma, Tattvamasi. These are the four famous Mahavakyams they are called. They come from four different Vedas, from four different Upanishads. It's mentioned, Prabhupada mentions that also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You will see when it is discussed. So, out of that, the Tattvamasi is this. That finally realizing Krishna inside, the Krishna who is outside is the same person who is inside me, whose presence is inside me. So, it is only after that you will experience the presence of Krishna in other living entities. It is after that. First we experience within ourselves Krishna's presence, realize the self first, and then realize Krishna in other living entities as well. So, that magic, this realization is what Shravanam death. Shravanam, death. So, it cannot be given to anybody. And it is not something which can be given to anyone. Because if it is like that, it is easy to give it. If you start giving to someone, there is a dimension like that, if you say you have to give someone, that means somebody has to take it also, isn't it? It will happen. But here, there is no giving and taking in this. Only thing is, you have woken up to the reality, what you are. That's what is happening. That purnatam, that perfection in life. At the moment, we don't know about it. Therefore, in order to know that, that is why salsangam is given. Salsangam is given. Salsangam happens. That's what salsangam does at that time. So, in other words, centered around us, there is a very thick coverage of ignorance inside. Removing that ignorance is what salsangam does. Remove the ignorance and show the vastu what is inside. And remaining in that state, that is what this shravanam for. Shravanam for. And what will that do? It will solve all the problems. It completely removes the distresses. And the one who is actually experiencing the distress, he is taken out from there. You don't remove the distress. What it does is, who experiences all the distress? The false ego inside. That is completely taken out from inside. And it will show to you that no distress in this world can touch you anymore. Because the soul, the self, Antaryami, cannot be touched by any distress. All the distress is experienced by the ego inside. What salsangam does is, finally, that ego completely taken out from inside, and that is the end of the story. So, Ananda Sarupam, now it's 5 o'clock, we'll have a short break and then we'll continue with the further with this 10th chapter. We'll continue again. So, Anityam Asukham Logam Imam Prapya Bhajaswamam, Krishna says. And then he also mentioned there, in the last words, Atmanam Mat Manmanabhamad Bhakto Madhyaji Imam Namaskuru Mama Veshasi Yukteivam Atmanam Mat Parayana. Atmanam Mat Parayana. So, basically we saw that what spiritual life does is, it removes that, it doesn't solve the problem outside. What it does is, the solution is found inside. How? By removing that person who is actually suffering, which is our false ego. That is taken out from inside. And at that time, it will also, same simultaneously, what happens is, once you lose your identity with false ego, immediately your identity with the self comes, with the soul comes, isn't it? So, and you'll also experience at that time that no distress in this world can touch the soul. No distress can touch the soul. So, and because very nature of that soul is bliss. Nature of the soul is bliss. That is why when you talk about the soul, we say eternal, blissful, full of knowledge, isn't it? Nature is bliss. Sadness and sorrow and misery cannot touch the soul. Cannot touch the soul. And reaching that state and being situated in that as that. Situated in that as that. At that time, you are not separate anymore. You are that then. That is Tattvamasi means. You are that. You are that. So, once you have reached that state, then any problems of the body, the mind, the distress of the body or the mind, or any of the upadhi. Upadhi means all these things, isn't it? Mind, body, intelligence, ego. None of them will affect us. None of them will affect us. In other words, the distress of the upadhi. Upadhi's distress. What does that mean? Distress of the body, distress of the mind, distress of the intelligence, distress of the ego, that Krishna also cannot do anything about it. I don't know whether you get that point. It's a very important point. Upadhi's problem, Krishna cannot do anything. Even Krishna wants it, he cannot do it. What I mean to say is that the way Krishna has created it is like that. ഓൾ ഉപാധി ബിലോങ്സ് ടു പ്രകൃതി. വാട്ട് ഈസ് വിത്ത് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് അവേഴ്സ്, അവർ പേഴ്സണൽ സ്പിരിച്വൽ നേച്ചർ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ്. ടു വേ ടു എസ്കേപ്പ് ഫ്രം ദി പ്രോബ്ലംസ് ഓഫ് ദ ഉപാധി ഈസ് ടു ഫ്രീ യുവർ സെൽഫ് ഫ്രം ദി ഉപാധി, നോട്ട് ബൈ റിപ്പയറിംഗ് ദ ഉപാധി. ഉപാധി മീൻസ് ഓൾ ഓഫ് ദം, മൈൻഡ്, ബോഡി, ഇന്റലിജൻസ്, ഈഗോ, സെൻസസ്, ദേ ആർ ഓൾ ഉപാധി. ഡോണ്ട് ട്രൈ ടു പ്ലേ വിത്ത് ദ ഉപാധി, റാദർ ഫ്രീ യുവർ സെൽഫ് ഫ്രം ദ ഉപാധി, കം ഔട്ട് ഓഫ് ഉപാധി. അവർ നോർമൽ ടെൻഡൻസി ഈസ് ടു വർക്ക് വിത്ത് ദ ഉപാധി. ഉപാധി ഈസ് എ വെരി സ്പിരിച്വൽ ടെർമിനോളജി ഇൻ ദി ജ്ഞാനമാർഗം. They will always mention Upadhi, Upadhi, Upadhi. Everywhere you will say Upadhi, the word. Upadhi means then that Upadhi, what it can do is sometimes it will give you some happiness. That's what Upadhi does. And according to your pious activity and sinful activity, it will give you distress and happiness. That is Upadhi's business. Upadhi's job is according to give you the results of your pious and sinful activities. That is nothing to do with you as your spiritual identity. But the distress in the upadhi, you cannot be completely removed. Cannot be completely removed. For example, the pride inside or false ego inside, what does that mean? Ahangaram means what? Ahangaram means, what does actually Avliya explain this ahangaram? Ahangaram means, in the Shastram, the word they used is parichinnatvam. Parichinnatvam means that you are feeling that you are separate from Krishna. I have no connection with Krishna. I am independent. I am. You can see this. Ahangaram wakes up in the morning, same time with the world. Aham, idam, two things. Yeah. Aham is the ahangaram. Idam is the world. When the morning, when you wake up, first thing, world comes up, you come up. Both. I come up at that time, first thing, isn't it? So, I take birth in the morning, world takes birth in the morning. Same time. Practically same time. And then when the night, when you go to sleep, they both die at the same time. World die and you also die. Is it not? You die and the world die at the same time in the night when you go into deep sleep. And in the morning when you come out of the deep sleep, world wakes up, I wake up. That shows the nature of that I. What it's like. That itself is the proof that that is ahangaram. That is the nature of the ahangaram. It only takes birth with the world. It cannot take birth otherwise. It takes birth with the world. World wakes up at that time. And when you go into, you can see this, this ahangaram's nature, I'm saying. Jiva is an important topic to discuss. In that, if you look into the Voice of God book, you will see there, Paramacharya discusses very beautiful way about this mind. He says, in such an extensive way, bringing all the support from the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, he's talking about, in the fourth volume, you will see, where he discussed that. He's saying there, the birth of the mind. It's something very interesting. He says there that the mind, I'll read it out sometime, next class or sometime you can read it out. When the mind is taking birth, because we are living in the mind all the time. All the time we are in the mind, isn't it? Our world is mind basically. Not in the body so much. Body we take notice of it only if the mind is giving some trouble with the body. Otherwise you don't care about the body. But when there is in the mind, it is interesting to note some very important things what he mentions there. Is that the so long as you are identifying with the mind, I am this mind, and this is me, I am the mind, this is so deep-rooted inside. As soon as I go into sleep, what's happening? Mind has disappeared, but all the other functions in the body, like breathing, blood circulation, digestive system, all other systems are still functioning. That shows, what does it show? It shows one thing, that when I was in the control of the mind, I was thinking, oh, everything I am doing. But when the mind itself left me and gone away, and things are still happening, I started thinking, it's not the mind that is responsible for that, rather the presence of the soul. Atma is responsible for that. And to prove it to us that the mind is nothing but another forceful energy that is coming from that same source, Atma. From Chit Shakti comes the mind, isn't it? So, if there it's a very interesting way they have discussed there, that to show to us that the power of the mind, if you do not escape from the mind, yogis do it in one way, jnani do it in another way, devotee does it in a different way. But they all do the same thing finally, escape from the mind, isn't it? If you look at it this way, jnani, what jnani does is, he completely ignores the mind. And nothing to do with you, you can do what you like, go and do what you want. Yogi, what it does, it brings everything to one point, not allowing anything else to get involved, concentration on one thing. What does devotee does? Devotee, savai mana krishna padara vindayor vachamsi vaikuntha guna anuvarnane. He simply surrenders to Krishna and hands over the mind to Krishna. Mind is our enemy, whether you go through yoga margam, jnana margam, bhakti margam, doesn't matter. Whichever process you follow, mind is the problem. So devotee hands over the mind to Krishna. Jnani, he completely leaves the mind behind. Don't allow to get mind involved in any of your spiritual life, spiritual activity, realizations. Everywhere, wherever mind comes, he completely keeps him away. That strength he has got. And yogi brings everything to one point. So here you can see here that this parichinnatum, that's what we are talking about, parichinnatum or limitation. What does it mean? It means that as soon as the ahankaram builds up inside, false ego develops inside, you have lost the connection with the Supreme Consciousness. Remember, Shukha Brahmarshi, when we give this example in the first chapter itself, Nikamakalpadaror Galidam Balam Shukamukha. No, not that one. In the second chapter, when he says, Yam Pravrajandam Anupedam Abeda Kritiam Dvaipayano Virahakadarama Juhava Putredi Danmaidayataravo Pinedu Tam Sarvabhuda Hridayam Munimana Tosmi. That state, what is that state? Sarvabhuda Hridayam. Why? There is no ahankaram inside. That is why it is like that. This sarvabhuda hridayatvam means being present in everyone. It is one. That soul is one in present in everybody. In the living entities, birds, animals, bees, plants, trees, everywhere, there is only consciousness. That is why in English, when you write consciousness, one word is written C, capital C. And the other one is written C, small c. The small c consciousness is the false ego. The big C, capital C consciousness is the soul, supreme consciousness. Both are consciousness. So consciousness, when it is ahanda, false ego, it's written nicely in English in this way. Small c is used for the false ego. It's written with the soul, small c. With the big C, capital C, when it is written, it is the supreme consciousness. The supreme consciousness. So the small C consciousness has to go. And when he dies, this parichinatum limitation goes away. When the small C or the ahankaram is inside, you feel you are limited to this body, you are limited to this mind, intelligence, ego, everything comes up. And you are limited then to the body, isn't it? But Shukha Brahmarshi, have you noticed? Tam sarvabhuda hridayam munimanato asmi, he says. He felt his presence in everything. In other words, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to Vedavyas, I don't feel separate from you. Because it's me who is inside you also. It's me who is inside in the trees and the plants and the creepers. So they replied on his behalf to show to Vedavyas that look, your son is not an ordinary person. He is in that state all the time, which is that sarvabhuta hridayam state. That is why that line is important. Sudha Goswami, when paying his respects to Shukha Brahmarshi, he says this. This is the nature of my spiritual master, he says. My spiritual master is like this. Tam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. Once you have lost that, we have fallen into the bodily identity, then that is called a parichinnatam. In Vedantam, they call it as parichinnatam or limitation. And the name of that parichinnatam or limitation is called false ego, ahankaram. When you have fallen into that, because strictly speaking, We have nothing to do with this body or with the mind. And we are not separate from that cosmic consciousness, supreme consciousness. Our identity is with the truth. Somehow, due to ajnanam, avidya, we have identified with the body and fallen into this state. There is no other way. So, when you feel that you are in with that supreme consciousness, perfection, that's why in Upanishads you will see, Bhumave Sukham. Who says this? Sanat Kumara Maharshi and Narada Maharshi discussion in the Chandogya Upanishad, it says, Bhumave Sukham, Alpam Na Sukham. This broken peace situation is not Sukham. Bhumave Sukham. He says like that. So, here he says, this body is Parichinnam, isn't it? Body is Parichinnam. It is limited. Mind is limited. Intelligence is limited. And also our ego is limited. They are all limited things. Only the consciousness is not limited. So what it does is, takes you away from all the limited things and brings you back to your unlimited existence, akhandatvam, purnada. And that is our real identity. To show to us, that is what it does. And that nature, that existence is Satta Chitta Anandam. That is what Satchidananda means. And that is what Shastram does, Upanishads does, spiritual master is doing. So, that is, and seeing that realization is called Aparoksha Jnanam. Aparoksham. There's two things, Paroksham, Aparoksham. Aparoksham means, it comes into your experience at that time. It's not anymore verbal, it's completely in practical experience. Aparoksham means, you cannot translate that, because Aparoksham is not direct perception. So, just like we say normally in our daily life here, we say solid reality. It is, we'll say like that, isn't it? See, so, so just like somebody is sitting in front of me, and in dream state also, I experience that. If I see in the dream state the same thing, I see Swapnam, the dream state is a reality. But if I close my eyes, I don't know whether you are there or not, isn't it? In other words, only through the senses I can see this, or in the dream state experience that. But without being in the vacant state or in the dream state, if it is coming as my experience even in the deep sleep, then I can say it is aparoksha. Otherwise, it's not aparoksha. These words are very important. Aparoksha anubhuti it is called. Aparoksha anubhuti means, for example, we call pratnya. Pratnya means what? Pratnya means our pratnya means that our bodham, awareness. Now, in vacant state and the dream state, you have certain pratnya, isn't it? Bodham, awareness is still there in the dream state also. But when you go into deep sleep, what happens? That awareness also goes. Anybody ask you what's happening in the deep sleep, all you can reply is, I don't know what was happening there. All I know is when you came out, you felt that it was a good time. That's all you can say about the deep sleep. But Mujukunda says to Krishna, Tvam Nyapti Matram. You are Nyapti. What does Nyapti mean? Nyapti is not Pratnya. Nyapti, what difference is that in Nyapti will be there in Jagrat, will be there in the dream state, it will be there in the deep sleep as well. So in the deep sleep, if you are experiencing that awareness, then it will be there at the time of death as well. That is the only way you can make yourself sure that you will escape from this world at the time of death. That means that Nyapti is the word Bhagavatam uses, that awareness. If it is there in vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep, then you can say at the time of death, you will escape from here. Which Krishna calls in the second chapter as Brahmi Sthiti. Remember? Brahmi Sthiti. Last words. Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha. Remember? Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha. Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimukhyati. സ്ഥിത്വാസ്യാം അന്ധകാലേപി ബ്രഹ്മനിർവാണ മൃച്ഛതി. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ബ്രാഹ്മ്യസ്ഥിതി ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് റീച്ച്ഡ്, കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് നൈനം പ്രാപ്യ വിമുഖ്യതി, there will not be any, then you won't have any questions after that, no doubts in the mind, till that all these things will carry on like this the way it is. So Krishna expects us that before death this state must happen. Yasham brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapse vimuhyati, he says once you have reached that stage, that moham, vimuhyati means freedom from illusion, will happen. What will happen then? Stitvasyam andhakalevi. And if you have reached that stage, don't worry about it. Andhakalebi brahmanirvana mrchati. You will get there to the goal. If you reach this, you can say somebody has gone back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, not. Not somebody dies and he says, oh, because he's my disciple, he has gone back home, back to Godhead. That won't work. It's just an ignorant statement it is. Completely ignorant. If you study Bhagavad Gita, all this is very clear. Krishna is saying here, Esham Jami Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimukhyati. There won't be any more. Because he has come out of it. While within the body itself, he has come out of it. In other words, in both Jagran, Swapnam, Sushupti, all the three states, that awareness is become strong. Bodham, Avabodham. And that is called Jnapti. Muchukunda says to Krishna, you are that Jnapti. You'll see in the Muchukunda's prayers, if you read, you will see there. Tvam Jnapti Matram. You are only Jnapti, Krishna says. Muchukunda says to Krishna. So, devotees who have understood the science of the soul, science of self-realization, they will speak in that language. How did Jadabharata say to Krishna? Tam Vasudevam Kavayo Vadanti. You'll see in the Jadabharata statement, isn't it? Bhagaval Shabda Matram. That whom he is addressed as Krishna Vasudeva, he is that who comes as Vasudeva Kavayo Vadandi. Learned people are saying that that is what you are. Which one? That in the deep sleep state, what you are experiencing at that time. Currently, you see this Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti state is something very seriously one should study. Because from there is a lot to learn. Brihadaranyam, and there is very extensive lectures also on that. So, Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimukhyati Sthitvasya Andhakalebi. If you are situated in that state, Andhakalebi, at the time of death also, Brahma Nirvana Mrchati, he is guaranteed. He says, Krishna says, Prabhupada says here, one can enter into the kingdom of God. One can. He says, there is no question about that. If this is all happens, you can say to someone that he has gone back. Otherwise, not. Otherwise, it is simply a cheating. It is. It's no meaning. It doesn't mean anything. If we making, it's just like if you're making a statement that somebody has gone back to Godhead, you also have not reached that state. He has also not reached that state, and we are making a statement here. He has gone back home, back to Godhead. What am I supposed to say to them? Somebody is making a statement like this. Is all there in the Bhagavad Gita? How can you reject all these things? That means either you are so ignorant that you have not read Bhagavad Gita properly, or I don't know. Esham Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimukhyati Sthitvasyam Andhakalebi Brahma Nirvana Mrchati. Again, translation, that is the way of spiritual life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. He is ready for it. That's the way you go. You get ready here and then you go. Not that after you go, you got there, you say. You don't do that. You get ready here first and then you go. And then you can say he's gone. But not after that you're gone or he's got there. I don't know where he got the ticket to. He's gone somewhere anyway. That you know he's gone somewhere. Where he has gone, I don't know. Where he has gone. And Krishna also again repeats that in the fourth chapter. If you look, you will see in the fifth chapter, 19th verse. Ihai vatair jitas sargom. Yesham samye sthitam manaha nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmat brahmanide sthidaha. How clearer can this, more than this, be? He says, ihaivadeir jita sargo. Those whose minds are established in this, same as an equanimity, have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. He has escaped. Why? Here itself, ഹൈവദേർജിതസർഗോ യേഷാം സാമ്യസ്ഥിതം മനാഹ ആൻഡ് ദെൻ നിർദോഷം ഹി സമം ബ്രഹ്മ തസ്മാത് ബ്രഹ്മണിതേ സ്ഥിതാഹ ദ സച്ച് എ പേഴ്സൺ ദർ ഫ്ലോലെസ് ലൈക് ബ്രഹ്മൻ ആൻഡ് ദസ് ദർ ഓൾറെഡി സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ ബ്രഹ്മം ഓൾറെഡി സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ ബ്രഹ്മം സോ ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ആർ ടെലിംഗ് അസ് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ മസ്റ്റ് ഹാപ്പൻ ഹിയർ നോട്ട് ലേറ്റർ ആഫ്റ്റർ ഡെത്ത് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു ഹാപ്പൻ ഹിയർ സോ ഇൻ ഓർഡർ ടു ഷോ ദിസ് ടു അസ് So pratyaksha means which is perceived. Pratyaksha means which is perceived. Perceived does not mean it is permanent. It's not nityam. Or in other words, it is something which is flimsy, which is very flimsy. And it will not affect me. It will not affect me. So suppose you are sitting in front of me, it doesn't mean it has its effect on me. That means when aparoksham, when shastram says aparoksham, it is not pratyaksham. That's what you have to understand. That in other words, when it comes to aparoksham, something that is not far away from me, so close to me, and at the time that is the only reality for me, that is aparoksham. Do you understand what that means? It means then pratyaksham I experience many things, sun, moon, lights, the world, the cars, everything. It's all pratyaksham. Aparoksham is something I have to experience it here within me, not through the senses. Right here within me I must have that experience. That is aparoksham. So that is why in the Bhagavatam and all, that's talking about aparoksha anubhuti, it's called. Anubhuti is the word they use. That anubhuti is aparoksham, and that is spiritual life. Self-realization and all things, this realization, what comes from that, it's all aparoksha anubhuti. Self-realization is aparoksha anubhuti. It's not pratyaksham. You can't see in someone what is self-realization is, because it's an outside thing. Pratyaksham is an outside thing. Aparoksham is something happening inside in the consciousness. So here, when the shastram, spiritual master, and all the topics outside, everything, when it has gone away, at that point even that goes away. There is no shastram anymore after that. There is no spiritual master anymore in that state. They all retire and you get released. They retire and go and you get released. That is realization means. You know, when we look inwards and we started realizing about this aparoksha anubhuti, what Shastram is talking about, inwards, that jnapti, when you touch the screen, in other words, when you touch that, the purpose is over, business is finished then. Then Shastram, Guru and all other things, what has helped you in spiritual life, it has no meaning. The purpose of all of them was to take you to that point, to get you there. Once you got there, they leave and you get released. Because you are already released then from the body, everything, you are already free. And in order to show to you that is why Shastram you require. Just like you are studying Bhagavad Gita now, Bhagavatam now. Would you be studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam after self-realization? You won't, would you? Because Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is only to take you to that point. Do you think Jatabharata and Shukabrahmarshi is always studying Bhagavad Gita? They don't. Because they have become that. Now what is there to study now anymore? That is the difference between the aparoksham and pratyaksham. If you are in the pratyaksham stage, you have to study. You have no choice. But when it comes to aparoksham stage, you don't have to study anymore. You have become that, what is expected of you. See the difference there? That aparoksha anubhuti, that is why there's a book called Aparoksha Anubhuti. If you read that, you will notice this. Aparoksha anubhuti will teach you this. It is aparoksham, it is. And Krishna is saying there also, pratyaksham, aparoksham. So aparoksha anubhuti is like that. So in order to get our attention onto that, Shastram is necessary. Shastram is necessary. Otherwise it will not happen. And once it known that, nothing change otherwise, so samvedyam, only that person who has got it, he will be benefited from that. For people who are outside, who hasn't known anything, what has happened inside in that person, they will think still the same thing about that person. He will think of what has happened to him. Has he gone a little bit funny in the head? They'll think like that. About all the realized souls, the world has treated them like that. They said that he has gone funny in his head. That's how the world will think about them. So that is why, but if there is some siddhis, if he has, people will think, oh, he has got that siddhi in him. That is why. And in the Acharya Swamiji, in the Bhashyam says, Brahmavarchasa Jnanam. And two things he mentions there. Brahmavarchasa means what is that? For example, if you perform chanting the holy name, japam, or meditation, deity worship and all that, due to increase in your sattugunam, because you will develop sattugunam with that, a certain amount of illumination will happen in you. In everybody, it will happen. Due to execution of certain sadhana, chanting the holy name, deity worship, engage in the meditation process, and various things. And because of that, sattugunam will build up. And due to sattugunam, what is the nature of sattugunam? Pravarti, prakasham. Prakasham, isn't it? Prakasham means illumination. Illumination means not light around. There is overall in the person a certain amount of peacefulness and happiness inside. Prakasham means that. Happiness inside and a peacefulness inside. So, we see that and we think that, oh, he is a great person. Because for what has happened, he has done is, for a certain period of time, he lived a life in full discipline in this world, with a proper disciplined way. And that is also called in the spiritual life, we call it as nishta. The word used is nishta. So because of that, a certain amount of effulgence or illumination or prakasham happens in a person. And seeing that, we say that, oh, he is a mahalma. He is a mahalma, we say. But that is also not permanent. That's also not permanent. Like rajogunam and tamogunam comes and goes, sattugunam also will come and go. It won't stay. It won't stay. So that effulgence and or what you call the illumination when it comes, we start thinking it is permanent. But actually the right word for that is charisma. That charismatic, we say, isn't it, about charisma. So many gurus, we say they are charismatic gurus. Or it is addressing to this point. This will happen to anyone. Suppose if you remain in sattugunam all the time, for some period of time, say for a couple of years or so, if you remain in sattugunam, naturally brings a certain personality in you, that peacefulness and a certain degree of due to that discipline, it happens like that. But remember, that is not a symptom of knowledge or self-realization. That is what you have to be cautious about. That illumination and charisma, what we notice in people, is not a symptom of their knowledge or self-realization. It is not. It is not. That charisma, it can happen to even total ajnani people. People who are in deep ajnanam, if they live that disciplined way, for example, you know what I'm talking about, following the four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, and not engaging in any heavy activities and living very peacefully, you will notice naturally they will have a little illumination in them. Illumination means that a certain peacefulness and shanti and kind of effulgence nature in them. Nicely cleanly shaven, nice shikha and nice kantimala and very saffron silk saffron clothes and all. When you look at them, you'll find, oh, this person looks. Many times people say this. Whereas those who are addicted to all sinful life, drinking, womanizing, all sorts of things people are doing, you look at their faces, you will see all the stress and all kinds of anxiety on their faces, isn't it? So it's only a change in that way. That's all, nothing more than that. Do not misunderstand that with the self-realization. That's the point, what it is to be understood. That what you are seeing there is that due to some discipline, nishta in life, you acquire some sattugunam inside, and that sattugunam is coming out in that way. That's all it is. And that is, that kind of charisma even can come to a completely ignorant person, provided he follows this process. Yeah, ajnani also can have that. But Then charisma can be there in jnani also, and it, similarly in ajnani also. And it can be also in those people who can perform some siddhis. You know the siddhas who got the siddhis. They also have. But most of the people in this world, they're actually looking for, has anyone got any siddhis? That's what they're interested in. Siddhi attracts people, isn't it? Krishna also says that. The Bhagavatam also he mentions there. So, for him, he will not understand what this Vedantam, Vichara Margam, Jnana Margam, Vegam, Vairagyam, and all these things, not many people are looking for it. They think that's all too much trouble to get into that extent. But if somebody shows some siddhi, they'll be there right on the spot to get something from there. And these people, they know this also, this weakness of the people. That's why they show siddhis to get them in, come in, bring them in first. Show some siddhis. Many people used to do that. So that is why somebody sees the deity in the temple. He will leave the deity in the temple and he'll go after someone who has got siddhi. Then also you will see that he won't find much attraction. This deity, I've been coming there for so many years. He hasn't shown anything to me. But somebody outside is able to show you some siddhi. Something, either walk on top of the water or able to hear something which is happening miles away. Krishna talked all about that in the Bhagavatam, in the 19th chapter, 11th canto. Aishwarya siddhis he calls them. So any siddhi if you display, people will get captivated by that rather than the deity in the temple. He will go after that. That is the nature of the human society. So, and we'll be looking for that. Very shallow interest. So, not saying that it's all wrong, but what you have to remember is that many things can happen through that siddhis also. Because, for example, many big people who have got that siddhis, they have utilized it very well to get people into their way they want them to do. They'll use them very well. And when they see the siddhi, they get attracted. And people take their instructions very seriously and follow through. So that way they'll get benefited and many good things will happen in life. Because sometimes you will see very educated people, when they get attracted to such siddhis, they will go and take shelter of some spiritual leader and they will do what they want them to do free. Without any... that's how many hospitals, schools and many other projects works in that way. But none of this is spiritual. That also we have to know. That is all in that level only. Adhyalpam is different. You can only say it's adhyalpam when you realize the self. These things are only there in this world. It will work up to certain limit. But none of them is spiritual process that you have to know. That is why Krishna rejected that straight away in the Bhagavatam. Remember? Through the process of siddhi, attracting people. Because in that process, the person who is showing the siddhi and those who are following them, both of them will get lost in that process. They won't make that success. So, it is in that instance that somebody may like to join a group. Say there is a leader who has got a lot of siddhi and he is showing a lot of siddhi. You want to join that group. Become a part of that, isn't it? So, and when you get in a group, you feel some happiness. Oh, I am joined that group. I am joined this group. You feel some happiness, isn't it? That I become a part of that team or this club, that club. You feel some happiness from inside. Similarly, some kind of Brahmam that is. It is a Brahmam, illusion that is. That I joined this group, so everything is okay now with me. I've taken the initiation, I joined the group. Now I'm a part of that. So anybody who is not a part of that, I don't know what's going to happen to him. That's what I'm thinking about it. Is there anything bigger, blunder than that? So many times people fall into this trap. I got the initiation. I'm okay now, I'm covered. And somebody will tell you, well, Parampara will protect you. Parampara is there. We've got this big Parampara starting from Krishna. Everything is covered. You're totally insured right up to the point. All this illusion gets into the head. Why? Because I've taken the initiation. This is Maya. This is not Parampara's understanding. This is not proper understanding of Parampara. What Krishna is saying here is that all this misunderstanding that... All that charisma what you find, the light what you find, this is all nothing but a ray of Krishna's energy that is coming out in that way. And he is satisfied by just by seeing that ray. He hasn't seen the truth yet. But when you realize that, I am not happy with what I see with my eyes. All that you are seeing is with your eyes, isn't it? All the siddhis, what you are seeing is through your eyes only. And with the eyes, that's finished. When the eyes go, that's also over. That's all not spiritual. Ultimately, it's not spiritual. But rather, when you realize it, that this truth, what you are looking for, is inside, hiding there somewhere. All Upanishads are speaking in that language. Every single Upanishads. Kathopanishad also says that, isn't it? Paranji, you remember that verse? Paranji Karyam says that Paranji, that is where Kathopanishad is saying to Krishna, why have you created us like this? That you are given body, mind, senses, everything, and then asking us to look inwards. You have put the windows in us to look outside. Everything is for looking outside. And then asking us to look inwards. What a contradiction, he says to Upanishads, he says that, why do you want me to look outwardly? Anyways, there. Look at that later. So, Krishna, it mentions, Kathopanishad says like that. So, this vastu, what is inside, it can be known only through the knowledge of the Shastram, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, because it is taking us close to that. And this effect of knowledge, of self-realization, it will not be known outside. Outside you won't be able to know. Only the person who has it, he will know about that. People who are outside, they can only imagine about that. They can only imagine that. So when you see in a self-realized soul a certain effulgence outside, we may have a little bit of impact of that in us. But by seeing that illumination, we won't become perfect by seeing that. Suppose you have seen as someone who is realized the self, it may have its impact on you, but you won't have that full realization as it is. But what you have to do is to get that knowledge from them, assimilate that, and through reflection and mananam, you have to make it on your own. And unless you bring it to your own experience, your distress won't go away. Your distress won't go away. All these are important principles. Ajnanam means avidya. Ignorance in us must go. Ignorance in us must go. So, in order to remove that ignorance from inside, that is what Shastram does. Shastram works for that. So, that is why it is called Brahmavidya. It's called Brahmavidya. And little bit of discrimination power, Vairagyam, Vivekam, is necessary. Viveka means discrimination nature, and Vairagya means renunciation. Both are necessary for that. So, so that is why Krishna says here that if this realization comes in a person, Krishna says, Solpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayad. You will see a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Now, what has happened is, after reading that verse, some people thought, even if you do some devotional service, little bit, not a lot, little bit, I will escape from here. That's not what it means. If that realization comes to you a little bit, that's what it means. Solpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayat. then you can escape from the fear of death. Realization has to come. Not to the full degree, even to some extent if you get it, Krishna is saying, you can escape. Not that I have done some devotional service sometime for a year or so in my life, that at the time of death I will escape from that. That won't. So that is why, because there is a big fear waiting in front of us. What is that? In the form of death, disease, material existence, and all of them, and completely wiping out this fearful existence, isn't it? You will see in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, often talking about fear. This fear is an amazing thing. We all have that, but it won't come out straight away. If you remember, Kavi Maharshi said this, bhayam, isn't it? Bhayam, he uses the word. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal isha tabedasya vipareyo smriti, he says. In the 11th canto, you will see Kavi Maharshi saying this. So, bhayam, that state, bhayam, fear, is always there in everybody. Krishna is saying here that one sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahato bhayad. Sulpam apyasya dharmasya. In this way, if you have realized something, even a little bit of that, it will protect you from the greatest fear. What is the greatest fear? Death, old age, disease, and other kinds of fear coming from the material world. So, what Krishna is saying here, that with the reference to the body, no more fear. About the death, no more fear. And what is beyond than that? Beyond that, Krishna says here that it will bring you to the state of blissful nature, blissful existence. That blissfulness is inside, not outside. It is inside. Dhirana meva karadalagadam. That will only come from the knowledge of the self, from the knowledge of the self. And one who has no knowledge of the self, he will be, all the forces in the material nature will terrorize him, he will be terrorized, frightened by all other forces in the world. This is a fact. Those who are fully realized, they are not fearful, are they? Always in the fearless state. That fearlessness, where does it come from? Because of this realization. Because of knowledge, they have become fearless. Because of knowledge, they have become fearless. You can see powerful personalities like Hiranyakashipu. He was frightened always, wasn't he? So it is not the physical strength that makes you fearless. It is that self-realization that made you fearless. That is why it's mentioned. Otherwise, all other forces will keep him frightened. No matter how big position he holds in this world. Great, great, powerful people, wealthy people, they are frightened in this world. They live in fear. So the only remedy to free yourself from the fear is knowledge. And this remedy, you cannot take it through the mouth. And it has to go through the ear. Unlike the medicine. All other medicines take through the mouth, but this has to go through the ears. So, some medicine, it will go inside and it will start working. And some only when it gets inside, it will start working. Certain medicines are like that. And Shravanam process, if it gets stuck in the, it has to go inside only, then it will start working. So, in the Shravanam process, when you are hearing, if it gets stuck in the brain, then it won't work. You see, if it gets in the stuck, it won't break. And then what will happen is, then you will say that, oh, it's not clear to me, it's not working, I got this problem and that problem. But if it goes directly to the center of the heart, where it is meant to go, and it will explode there when it gets there, and then you will know what is happening, that there is no other remedy after that. Sheetalada, anda sheetalada, Yoga Vasishtam says. When it goes inside, anda shitalada, a calmness, a coolness happens inside. And Krishna says, and also, padavyam avashishyade. Remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, after Uddhava received the transcendental knowledge from Krishna, Uddhava is leaving. And at that time, there is a verse in the Bhagavatam, this Sugar Brahmarshi says that. He says, padavyam avashishyate. That is the word he has used.
Hindi verse is Pitva Piyusham Amrutam Padavyam Avashishyate. That is the way he puts it. Shuka Brahmarshi says that Pitva Piyusham Amrutam Padavyam Avashishyate. That is the time when Uddhava was departing. Uddhava says to him that Gacho Uddhava Maya Adishtam Badari Ashramam Badari Akhyam Mama Ashramam Tatra Madpada Dirthobi Snanobas Varshane Shuchi. So Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, Uddhava, do like this and go back to the spiritual world. And that is where he mentions this. One second. That Pitva Piyusham Amrutam Padavyam Avashishyate. Says 29, 32, is it? Yeah. Neidad vijnaya jitnyaso jnadavyam avishishyate pitva piyusham amrdam padavyam navashishyate. You said what? Krishna is saying this. Uddhava, neidad vijnaya jitnyaso. Again, Krishna uses the word jitnyaso. Neidad vijnaya jitnyaso jnadavyam avishishyate. For a jitnyasu, there is nothing else to be known after this. Naidad vijnaya jitnyasur jnadavyam avashishyate. This knowledge of the self, that's what Krishna is talking about. Ekadasha skandam. He says, naidad vijnaya jitnyasur jnadavyam avashishyate. There is nothing else to be known after that. Then what will happen? Pitva piyusham amrutam. It will be like drinking that amrutam, nectar. And padavyam avashishyade, there is not, he won't ask for orange juice or anything else after that. Because he has got the nectar. After drinking the nectar, you won't ask for any other thing, is it? The other water or any other juice or any kind of drink, you won't ask for. Because you got the nectar. That's what Krishna is saying here. Pitva piyusham amrutam. Then after that, padavyam avashishyate, you won't ask for anything else. There's nothing to be drunk after that, he says there, isn't it? So, pitva piyusham amrutam, padavyam avashishyate. So, naidad vijnaya jitnyasur jnadavyam avashishyate. After knowing this, there is nothing else to be known. Final, finish there. Pitva piyusham amrutam, padavyam avashishyate. He's comparing that with drinking nectar. Krishna is saying, after drinking nectar, will he ask for anything else after that? No, he won't. Similarly, if this Ekadasha Skandam, if somebody drinks it, somebody means he has taken and realized it, then he won't ask for anything after that. That's what it means. Pitva piyusham amrutam padavyam avashishyade naidad vijnaya jitnyasur jnadavyam avashishyade. Krishna is saying that. Very important point. So, jitnyasa, everything comes to an end at that point. And he mentions here that therefore this Shravanam process, what it does is this, that for those who does not have the knowledge of the self, he will be frightened by everything in this world. Whereas this knowledge of the self takes away that fear from inside, because you have realized who you are, not the body, isn't it? There itself everything is finished. Everything is finished. So, the only medicine Krishna is saying is this, that this remedy is this knowledge of the self. So, so that is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, Uddhava says that what is higher than this nectar? What is higher than this nectar? One who has drunk this nectar, he doesn't have to drink anything anymore. Parikshit also said the same thing, did he not? What does Parikshit says? If you read that, you will see there. Maranam takshaka adibhyo. Isn't it? What else is to know after that? He says. In that fifth Brahmavadesham, you will see there. Same thing. So, he is not frightened about death anymore. Because the strength of the knowledge. Strength of the knowledge. That jnanam inside. So, once that fear has gone away from inside, then the life is
it is possible to work in a peaceful way and happy way in this world. But first the fear has to go from inside. You can see this, many people are not able to work in this world in a happy state, isn't it? Why? The basic fear. Fear influences the whole system because of the fear, isn't it? Brain, the senses and all the decisions, everything is affected by that fear. But you can see it affects in all their life, throughout life, every moment, anxiety about something or the other, and whatever they are doing, always working in fear. But Krishna is saying, once this knowledge has gone in, then they can operate in this world without any fear. Look at example, he says that that children, if you look at them, they are happy, isn't it? Most of the time they are happy. And why? The reason is that they don't have any issues like we have got, that they have to earn money, and they don't feel vanity like the way we do, and they don't want recognition in the society, things like that. When they are small children, they don't have any of them. So they operate in a particular way in this world. They are temporarily happy when they play with somebody, they are happy and they are satisfied with that. But when you become grown up, it completely changes the whole system, isn't it? So similarly, because everything, when we are living and operating in this world, we are living in fear. We are doing things in fear. So therefore, Krishna is saying that through that blissful existence, how to experience that freedom, we don't have that. That freedom we don't have. To experience that in a blissful way, we don't have that experience because our brain is completely corrupted with fear. Our brain is completely corrupted with fear. So we always have this fear, if I come out of that brain, what will happen to me? Will I fall? And what will happen to me? I might die, and any moment I can die. All this fear is coming from that brain. See how brain gives us trouble? Suppose you didn't have the brain, you won't have this fear. Because of the brain only all this fear has come while dealing with the world, while living in this world. Every moment we have fearful existence. Why? Because of this brain. And we think brain is very good, isn't it? So brain makes us to think like this, that this fear has come from there. And because we can't see the goal, brain says to you, no, that is not the goal, this is the goal. And it completely confuses us. And instead of giving that happiness what we are entitled for, it blocks everything and not allow us to live in a satisfied way in this world. And one who has come to this spiritual understanding, knowing very well that beyond the mind, beyond the body, beyond intelligence and ego, I exist. I am not going to be tied down by any of these things. Such a person, Krishna says here, he will have jijnasa, proper jijnasa. And then, who has got that courage inside and jijnasa in him, such a person, Krishna says, sudehi bhokta. Remember that, partho valsa sudhir bhokta, dugdham gidamritam mahat. You remember, in the glorification of Bhagavad Gita, there is a prayer, isn't it? That partho valsa sudhir bhokta, dugdham gidamritam mahat. Sarvopanishado gavo dogdha gopala nandana partho valsa sudhir bhokta dogdham gidamatam mahat. It is a prayer Shankaracharya has written about Bhagavad Gita, which Prabhupada has translated into English. We had that verses before, the translation of that. It says, sarva upanishado gavo, all the Upanishads are compared to a cow. Dogdha gopala nandana, Krishna is the milkman. He is milking this cow of the knowledge of the Upanishads. Knowledge of the Upanishads is the cow. Sarva Upanishado gavo. Gavo is the cow. The cow is the Upanishads. Dugdha Gopala Nandana. The milkman is Krishna. Who is the milkman? Partho Valsa. Arjuna is the calf. Using Arjuna as the calf, Krishna is milking the knowledge from the Upanishads. Dugdham. Drink that milk. ഗീത അമൃതം മഹത് പാർത്ഥോവത്സ സുധീർ ഭോക്ത പാർത്ഥോവത്സ ഇഫ് യു ഡ്രിങ്ക് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ സുധീ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് വേർഡ് സുധീ മീൻസ് that where your intelligence is not blocking you anymore and giving you total freedom to enjoy the knowledge of the soul. That is that state. Partho valsa sudhir bhokta. And bhokta means enjoy that dugdham, that milk, gita amrutam mahat, the nectar of Bhagavad Gita. The nectar of Bhagavad Gita. So you will see great personalities, how they have seen Bhagavad Gita in that way. Sarvopanishado gavo, ദുഗ്ധ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോവത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് സോ സുധീർഭോക്ത സോ ഫോർ വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഫോർ ഹിം ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് വൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് ക്രേജിയസ് ടു ടേക്ക് ദ നോളജ് ഓഫ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത ഓൺ ബോർഡ് ആൻഡ് ടു പ്രാക്ടീസ് ഇറ്റ് ഇൻ ലൈഫ് ആൻഡ് ഹൂ ഹാസ് ഗോട്ട് ദാറ്റ് പ്രോപ്പർ ഡിസ്ക്രിമിനേഷൻ വൈൽ സ്റ്റഡിയിങ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത പ്രോപ്പർ വേ അപ്രോച്ചിങ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത ഇൻ ദ റൈറ്റ് വേ ഫോർ ഹിം Hearing Bhagavad Gita will do good. And he hearing about Bhagavad Gita and he will be able to stay in that state all the time. What Bhagavad Gita is talking about. So that is why whoever it may be, doesn't matter. If he comes to that, he will make it a success. That is why he said there. And that is why Mamhi Partha Vepashritya Episyu Papa Yoyana Yoho Striyo Vaishya Tatha Shudra Tebi Yandhi Parangadi. Does not matter who it is. If he comes in this way. It is the only way you have to go. Mamhi Partha Vepashritya. Krishna says there, isn't it? In the last chapter, he says, Mamhi Partha Vepashritya Yebisyu Papa Yonayoho. Those who are taken birth in a very, very fallen situations. Papa Yoni. We discussed that yesterday. Stri, women, Shudra, Vaishya, all of them, they can also make it a success. He says. Because circumstances is not the only criteria. How much we take it serious in spiritual life, that is what matters, not the circumstances. You can blame the circumstances. Of course, it has its effect on us, sometimes very strong. But to fight against that, that strength and jinyasa inside, that Krishna is saying is more important than anything else. That's what he said. Mamhi Partha Vepashritya Yebisyu Papa Yonayoho Striyo Vaishya Statha Shudras Tebiyandi Paramgadim. They have also reached the destinations, Krishna is saying like this. So, no matter how sinful he was, generation after generation, and born in very sinful conditions, he will also get released. Krishna says he will also get released. Because some place is a cave in the forest. For thousands of years, it was very dark inside. But as soon as you bring the light inside, 1,000 years of darkness has disappeared, isn't it? It only took a second. As soon as you bring the light inside, it's gone. In the same way, Krishna says, this ignorance inside may be there for many, many lifetimes. And the effect of that ignorance will disappear as soon as you bring this light in, the light of Bhagavad Gita. Tebiyandi Paramgadim, Krishna says. And saying that, Krishna completed the last chapter. Isn't it? Tebiyandi Paramgadim. ABCU Papayoinayoho Mamhibartha Vapashritya ABCU Papayoinayoho Striyo Vaishyas Tata Shudras Tebiyandi Paramgadim. And Krishna also mentioned at the end Manmanabho Madbhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru Mamaveshasi Yukteivam Altmanam Madparayanaha. What is the meaning of that verse? In the life, there has to be only one center. Only one center. Although there may be so many other places where we go, just like when sometimes you'll see this in India or even here or sometimes, when you go to the temple, they buy flowers or fruits to take you to the temple to offer to the deity, isn't it? You buy things like that. Or if you are thirsty, you may buy some drink, water or something to drink to fill your thirsty. But the goal is ultimately that you want to reach the temple. And that is more important. But on the way you do various things to get to the, while going to the temple. Similarly, in the life, the goal is realizing the self. Realizing the self, going back to Krishna. So life itself is spiritual. Life itself is spiritual. There is no such thing as spiritual life and worldly life. You can't have that. spiritual life and worldly life. Spiritual, spirit is the center. Spirit should be the center. Then there will be shanti. That is the principle. Suppose spirit is the center, then there will be shanti. Otherwise, normally what most of the people do is, so many hours for spiritual life, so many hours for material life. We keep it like that, isn't it? That will not have its benefit very much, because you have not shifted your attention from the world still. Krishna is saying center has to be the spirit. Spirit has to be the center. Centered around that spirit, you should conduct your material life. That's the way it should be. It should operate in that way. Whatever has to be done, it has to be done for that. How we do it, that's up to the individual, how to do it. But the center on which everything should be centered around that spiritual life, spirit, center, and centered around the spirit. There is no spiritual life and worldly life. Spiritual life should be the center. So, so long as you have a worldly life and a spiritual life, and then you saying that I want some peace also inside, that will not happen. That will not happen. So long as the world is important and whatever you have to do in this world, you have to do it. Whatever necessary, what is necessary. But if world has become important, then birth, death, old age and disease, these four things will be there. If the world is important. But if the soul is important, it will give you immortality. That's the way it is. If the world is important, you can expect that birth, death, old age and disease will be there. If the soul is important, if everything is centered around the soul, one day these things will go, immortality will become the reality. Immortality will be the reality. That is why Krishna is saying here that, that we have to make that decision. So Krishna says here, keep that, if soul is important, that keep the mind on the soul. Manmana abhava mad bhakto. Remember the first statement. Manmana abhava mad bhakto means keep the mind on the soul. And keep your attachment to the soul. Next one. Manmana abhava mad bhakto madhya jimam namaskuru. All activities what you are performing in this world, sacrifice it for the sake of the soul. Sacrifice it for the sake of the soul. And surrender to the soul and be situated in the soul. Surrender to the soul and situate in the soul. In other words, remain all the time in the spiritual platform, not on the bodily platform. Not on the bodily platform. Manmana bhava means keep your mind in the soul. Madbhakaha means show your attachment to the soul. Madhyaji, all karmam, whatever you are performing, do it with the understanding of the soul. Karmam has to be performed. That cannot come out of it, because karmam will follow you according to the prarabdham, it will be there. That cannot be thrown. But at the same time, fixed in the soul. Always fixed on the soul. Then he says, Namaskuru. That he says, isn't it? Madhyajimam Namaskuru. That is the most important thing. This Namaskuru means, what have we understood? We are thinking that I should keep on paying obeisances day in, day out. That's not what it means. What it means is that this false ego, take it and put it into the soul. Into the soul. In other words, always being in that surrendered state. Always in the surrendered state. In other words, as and when ego pops up, immediately go back to the soul through self-inquiry. That is what self-inquiry does. As soon as the ego comes up, we are always have ego all the time. As much as ego comes up, immediately able to push the ego down and go to the platform of the soul. That is what Madhyajimam Namaskuru means. That is Namaskaram. If you look at it, it makes sense also. For example, we go and pay Danda Namaskaram. Dandavad. We pay. But that is not Namaskaram. If you look into Shastram, they will say, actual Namaskaram is when you have no false ego inside. False ego is keeping us like this. If the false ego drops, it will drop. This body is standing like this because of false ego. If the false ego goes away, like the tree, it will drop. Because false ego is the one which is holding it like this. So that is why when it falls like this, it is supposed to be that there is no more false ego inside. Ahankaram should not be inside. Only if it happens that namaskaram has any meaning. And because we are not following that, that is why after 100 years paying this dandavat, nothing has happened. It remained only as a physical exercise. This is the reason for that. You will see some people, we are also like that. I'm not saying somebody else, including me. We are all paying obeisances every day. We paid obeisances to so many people. What has happened? Nothing has happened. Paid the obeisance, that's the only profit. If you ask what's the profit from that, profit is that I paid obeisances, that's the only profit. Ahankaram has not gone. So Krishna's point is, this is how that word came. Danda namaskaram came like this. Ahankaram keeps it like this. When the ahankaram goes away, it falls like a tree. And we are supposed to fall like that, with that consciousness. Completely ahankaram has to go, and then all your body should fall on the ground and touch, and that is when it becomes a proper namaskaram. So it is on that understanding Krishna is saying here, madhya jimam namaskuru. Otherwise, is it a big instruction to tell us that you pay obeisances to me? Bhagavad Gita is not so cheap to tell us something like that. That all yoga books, even published from all different people, they'll tell you what kind of yoga system you have to perform. Namaskuru means it's one kind of yoga, isn't it? Shavasanam it is basically. Very close to that. There are so many yoga processes also, books are telling us. This Madhyajimam Namaskuru is not such a simple yoga. There inside change is necessary. Only then that will happen. That is why it is mentioned like that. That means Mam Namaskuru. That means Abhimanam inside, that pride inside, Ahankaram inside. Keep it under such a low level that you are able to remain in the platform of the soul. That is that Madhyajimam Namaskuru. Then Mam Avishyasi. Krishna says, you reach the soul. Reach there, get there to the soul. Malparayana. Malparayana means that completely surrendered state, knowing very well the only purpose and aim of life is the self-realization, to live in that. So now you see that verse, how it has its effect. Malkarma krita malparamo malbhakta malkarma manmana bhava madbhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mam aveshyasi yukteivam atmanam madparayana. How much that verse carry? Imagine that. How much is expected of us from inside to change? Manmana bhava means keep the mind in the soul, fixed on the soul. Never allow the mind to move away from the soul. Mad bhaktaha, all your love and affection towards the soul. Madhyaji, whatever karma means you are doing here, that is also for the pleasure of the soul. In spiritual way, engage the karma. In other words, without ahankaram, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Without ragadvesham, engaging in karma. That is spiritual. Madhyaji. Then, Mam Namaskuru. Pay your obeisances in such a way that there is no trace of false ego inside. Mam Aveshyasi. And you will come to the soul. Come to the soul. Don't move away from the soul. Madparayanaha. And with all full understanding that the only aim of life is self-realization. Self-realization. Wherever Krishna has spoken, Mam, Mam, Mam here, you have to take it as soul, soul, soul. Only then it will make sense. Otherwise it won't make much sense. Because Bhagavad Gita is a science of the soul. Krishna is talking to us from the platform of the soul. Everything on the platform of the soul. Otherwise it will be, that Krishna is going to say in this very next chapter, that is how you have to take it. When he says to us, Ahama Alma, Gudakesha, Sarvabhuda Shayastida, Aham Adhyamcha, Madhyamcha, Bhudanam, Andamevacha. This chapter is going to talk about that verse. Aham Alpa Gudakesha, Sarvabhudashayastida, Aham Adhyamcha, Madhyamcha, Bhudanam, Andamevacha. And that verse will open up, because that is the most important verse in that chapter. After talking about all the vibhuti, all the opulences, Krishna is saying to us, this is my greatest opulence. What? I am the soul of everyone. Is it not? So from there itself you can see Krishna is pointing out to us, be on the spiritual platform. Never fall into the bodily level or to the materialist level. If you stay in the spiritual platform, in order to remain in that level, Krishna is saying this process, manmana bhava madbhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mamavirshasi yuktaivam almanam madparayana. In all levels, being surrendered to Krishna and always in the platform of the soul. If you execute and study Bhagavad Gita in that way, a lot of things from Bhagavad Gita will do good, will give us a lot of strength. That fearlessness, what Krishna is talking about, everything will come from that. So it's 25 to 7. We'll stop today and we will continue on the first Saturday of February. I think it is 2nd of February, I think. The first Saturday in February, from Vishal's house. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.